Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Boozer's Jewelers Premier Diamonds and the Wedding Ring Store on the corner of Valley Mills and Lake Air in Waco.
Swung on, grounded up the middle, base hit, and that's a game winner. A single up the middle for the freshman from Edmond, Oklahoma, and Baylor wins it. Final score, 2-1.
Here's the pitch. Swung on, there's a fly ball to the right field line. Belinsky's coming in. He's running over. He's running hard. It's going to be over his head. Two runs are going to score. Loftus rounded second. He's heading for third base. He's going to be in there with a stand-up triple, and the Bears have taken a 3-2 lead.
The 12 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Prompt Technology.
Cooper crossover dribble trying to get inside. Layup and gets it to fall, and she's fouled. She'll get a chance for a three-point play.
Clark trying to get the rebound. He's got it on the backside for the Bears. Gives to Matt Meyer, trapped in the corner. Spins away! Whoa! He drives in and dunks it with his right hand.
Man, that came out of nowhere. Just a great play by Meyer. Got his defender overcommitted. And, man, he brought the house down.
Drives in, kicks it right corner to Bandu. Bandu to Vital. Oh! Down the paint for a two-hand flush.
Monte Bandu just caught the defense flat-footed. And Vital, all that frustration from sitting out 15 minutes in the first half, he took it out on the rim.
He did.
Live from the Petty Clinic Low T Studio, this is Unnecessary Roughness. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
Welcome into a new week, and for the fifth week in a row, we come to you live from the home of the number one team in men's basketball in the country, Baylor men's basketball, getting it done again on Saturday and against an opponent they had not yet seen this year and one that we had sort of wondered about, but easy peasy, 1-2-3-easy. Baylor men's basketball is on a tear right now, and yes, for the fifth consecutive week, they are the number one team in the country with a bullet, and they have now gone through an entire round of Big 12 play unbeaten, their winning streak over 20 games, and who knows when an end is in sight, but Oklahoma is up next, and now we also know as of Saturday morning that College Game Day will be coming to Waco this Saturday for a number one versus number three showdown, Baylor and Kansas coming up in Waco in just a matter of days, and so for the first time in what I believe is about 5 years, a university will host both a football and a basketball College Game Day. Baylor is that school, first school to do it in about 5 years, so that is something that we will certainly be talking about throughout this afternoon. And if you're on this Baylor bus, on this train that's rolling down the tracks right now, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon at 254-662-1660 and get your thoughts on this win streak, this sweep of the Big 12, and this monster showdown coming up on Saturday. But they do have a game before that they got to worry about, and that is the Oklahoma Sooners coming up first. But Craig Smoke with you as always, joined as always by Mr. Softball, your boy Q, who's back after missing some time at the end of last week due to the Getterman Classic, which is now all over and done. And how relieved are you that this is over and done?
I'm glad that it's over and done, no doubt about it, but the Baylor Invitational is coming up this weekend.
So. Well, dang.
So, yeah, I'm glad that the 10 games are done with for the Getterman Classic, but the 12 for the Baylor Invitational is coming up this weekend. So it's a bittersweet thing, but hey, you know, Baylor softball's out to a really good start. They won the Getterman Classic, won all 5 games they played this weekend, so big ups to them. Obviously, last year, having all those injuries really hurt them. So, you know, they're back looking better than ever. So that's great. And, again, just another W for Baylor Athletics. But, man, I'm telling you, that men's basketball that you were talking about, the whole time you were talking about it, I just stood over here and shook my head because, again, I was one of those that really, really did not believe that they were going to get past West Virginia. I thought that press coverage was – or that press, you know, that press man-to-man that West Virginia plays was going to be too much for Baylor because they had struggled throughout the season when different teams put that on them. But – Baylor broke that press early, and it really looked very ineffective against them throughout the day on Saturday. And I didn't get to see the whole game, but was able to watch bits and pieces of it from the press box over at Getterman Stadium. And man, oh man, how impressive is Baylor men's basketball?
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Nobody could have foreseen this. I saw Ashley Hodge over at Sikkim365.com. He's a season ticket holder. He's a big basketball fan. He's one of the co-founders, owners of the site, and I'm lucky to work with those guys. But I've never come across a bigger Baylor basketball fan. I mean, the dude is just into it. And I remember reading some of his season previews and hearing or reading or picking up on some of the excitement that there was and certainly feelings of positivity that this could be a really strong year. But there is no way that he would have predicted or anybody else that covers that team on a close basis could have predicted this type of a run and this type of a setup to March Madness. I mean, being at a midway point in February and being a number one team in the country for the fifth consecutive week, and having been through the Big 12 gauntlet already one time, and having beaten every team in your way. I mean, it's just
it's unbelievable.
Keep throwing all these stats and stuff like that, and I don't want to get too numbery with you, but yeah, it is. It's unbelievable, and I don't know anybody that could have foreseen this coming as good as they thought this team might be.
No, not at all. And, you know, early in the season, we talked about it really when they previewed or we previewed the them getting ready to get into Big 12 play. And I said, yeah, they're a good team. I do believe they're a good team. They're really strong on the defensive side of the ball. But who's going to come up clutch when they need that clutch moment? And it's funny because throughout the season, it's been a variety of different guys. You know, you think Jared Butler's always going to be the guy, but it could be a Macy Oteague. It could be a Matthew Mayer. It could be, I mean, there's any kind of guy could step up at any moment. You know, it could be Mark Vidal making the great play at the end. I mean, it's just so many guys have really bought into that team aspect, and they're really playing like a team. It's just, it's unbelievable to see it. And again, I hate to say unbelievable because then it makes it feel like that they're just, they weren't worthy of being that good of a team. And that's not the case. I just didn't see this run going as long as it is.
No, certainly not. And, you know, they've been number one for five consecutive weeks in a year where number ones were falling like flies. As soon
just
as you
like
got that.
That,
yeah, as soon as you got that number one ranking, is almost a given that you were going to lose. Baylor men's basketball gets it. And I remember at the time, a lot of people were just like, oh, well, the number ones are going to flip again here pretty soon. And then, you know, maybe people said that the second week, but hey, we're 5 weeks in now and they're still number one. And as I mentioned, College game day coming to town. How cool is that? That you get, if you're a Baylor fan, both football and basketball game days in the same calendar year. You know, the year of the Bear is something that people look back on very fondly. And I don't know how you really compare this year to that year or whatever, but it's hard to imagine, as good as that year was, just the overall success these programs are having, that was just far and away better or whatever. I mean, I don't know how you compare them exactly,
right?
Because situations are different, obviously. But man, this is an all-time kind of calendar year so far for Baylor athletics, and men's basketball certainly a big part of that.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to compare it to any other year or say, hey, it's almost on the same page as this. It doesn't even really matter. I just know that this run that Baylor's been on this calendar year, and everything that Baylor athletics in general has been doing. I mean, when I was putting together the tweet for the show, just saying what we were going to go over, and I was like, a hell of a weekend for Baylor athletics, not just Baylor men, not just Baylor women, but the baseball team, the softball team. I mean, everybody is just doing big things over at Baylor, and you just really can't help but to brag on them.
Yeah, as you said, we will take a look and a rundown over the weekend's events. Baseball got off to a really sour note on Friday night, but they were able to salvage that over the last couple of days. But yeah, on Friday, talk about a season opener. It did not look great as far as if you were taking that first game and projecting the rest of the season. Now, that's silly to do, obviously, but just as far as like setting a tone for the year, you don't do that the way that they did it on Friday night, but you do that the way they followed it up on Saturday and Sunday. Baylor softball, as you mentioned, sweeps the Getterman Classic, and there's a lot of other things to get to from this weekend as a whole, so we will do that here in this first hour.
How beautiful is baseball, though, man? I love the sport of baseball for the exact reason that Baylor did this weekend. I mean, they go and get shelled on Friday night, and again, it looked like, oh, man, the sky is falling. And then they come back and win the next two games against Nebraska, and that's how quickly things could change in baseball.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you could take a whooping on Friday night and come back and play on Saturday, and it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it's day by day, game by game, series by series, so they don't let Friday mess with them. They just come and rebound and get back to 2-1. So we will talk some Baylor baseball today as well. He's been practicing the mayor dunk in his driveway for the last 24-48 hours. Steven Simcox with us. How are we doing this afternoon?
I'm good. Yeah, that was impressive. I saw him get up and dunk in that TCU game, but he finished an alley-oop, and I was like, hey, I didn't know Matt could get up like that. I didn't know he had ups like that. And then he's pulled that little spin move. And he gets the crowd going when he does it. I'll tell you what.
Yeah. He gets the crowd going all the time.
Nothing gets the Farrell Center going like a Matthew Mayer dunk. And that had the whole team energized. So good for him, and a really impressive win for Baylor. I mean, they just continue to check teams off the list.
Did you see Jared Butler's face? Mm-hmm. Did you see the replay in
his
face?
Oh, I watched
face?
It probably back four or five times just to see. Tristan Clark had a great reaction to it. Yeah. They all were
so
just
funny.
Like, just out of their minds, happy or blown away or whatever by Mayer's dunk. But, yeah, that was a highlight, obviously, from the game on Saturday. Nice little spin move by him near the baseline and the dunk to finish. And That was a play that was very early on in the game as Baylor was kind of building that lead early, and then would continue to build on that lead. But that was one where you just kind of felt like, all right, it's their day, or at least it's their half. This is going to be perhaps a good day for Baylor basketball, and that certainly was part of the tone setting and certainly one of the louder moments in the Farrell Center in quite some time as well. So I want to hear from you on Baylor basketball. Again, number one team in the country for a fifth straight week. College game day is coming to town. It's number one versus number three, Baylor versus Kansas. We'll have some tickets later on this week. We do have some tickets we'll be giving away on the show today. Baseball fans, Arkansas Pine Bluff is up next for Steve Rodriguez and the Bears, and they are coming up tomorrow at Baylor Ballpark. So if you're part of the show today and are interested in some baseball tickets, 254-662-1660, the number to call, and let Steven know that you are interested in going to the Baylor baseball game tomorrow, or if you hit us up on the Bush's Chicken text line, also a 254-662-1660. You can let us know you're interested via that as well.
And I got to admit, and really I'm just admitting it to you guys, I gave out the Bush's Chicken text line and our phone number. I gave it out to my Locked On Raiders podcast on accident because I was just like, my mind was mental breakdown from over the weekend and I didn't even think about it. And so all of a sudden some dude hit me up just a little while ago and was like, Q, I didn't know your phone number for the podcast changed. And I was like, it didn't. And then he said, no, it's some 254 number. And I realized I gave out the Bush's Chicken text line. So then I just saw there's a text over here from Raiders, somebody from SoCal, so my bad.
We'll mix in some Derek Carr questions with our Baylor discussion, but folks, your thoughts on Baylor men's basketball, just this run they've been on, what they've got in front of them, historically speaking, from Baylor basketball teams you've seen in years past, and granted, it's not a long and lengthy history. I got some fun stats that I'm going to bring to you guys coming up next that I picked up off of Sikkim 365, just historically speaking, of Baylor all time and, you know, kind of what they're doing right now and really what they've been doing under Scott Drew. Your thoughts at 254-662-1660. Are you stoked for the game day showing on Saturday as well, Baylor versus Kansas? Phone lines are open. Bush's Chicken text line's open. We got a lot to talk about. We got one guest joining us, but not till later on in the show, so plenty of open line time right now. We'll take a break right here. Come back with more. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Recently on the Matt Mosley Show.
It is Dave Aranda, the head football coach at Baylor University now. Who is the most athletic member of the Aranda family at this point? I know you were
my wife,
fine.
Yeah, all the way. Yeah, still. I mean, she'll race. My oldest girl and my middle girl is a soccer player, and she's getting there. You know, they're passing Dion, my wife, in terms of height, but that just like angers her, and so gets her, you know, excited and fired up to beat them in races and stuff. So it's very competitive, and I miss some of that when I do the FaceTime and I get back with them in the evenings. I can see the chaos and just the competitiveness, and it's a lot more going on than what I've got going on in the hotel room. So I'm looking forward to getting all back together again.
It's the Matt Mosley Show on ESPN Central Texas.
When Republican Will Jones was elected, he made us a promise that he'd go to work every day to make county government more like a business. And that's exactly what he's done. By attacking waste, fraud, and abuse, consolidating offices, and applying best practices, Will Jones has saved taxpayers $18 million. $18 million! That ain't jump change. That's enough to buy every one of Chip and Joanna's fixer-uppers. Get your name on the side of a building at Baylor or feed a family of four at George's every day for 1,700 years. That's real money right there, and it's back in the pockets of taxpayers because of Republican Will Jones. He's also making sure our veterans get the services they need by authorizing a veterans court and helping to expand the Heart of Texas One Stop. You see, Will Jones doesn't make big promises he can't keep. He just tells you what he's going to do. Then he rolls up his sleeves and gets it done. Let's re-elect Commissioner Will Jones, the taxpayer's champion. Political ad paid for by the Will Jones Campaign.
A judge swears an oath to honor God and uphold our Constitution. And Republican Thomas West is prepared to take that oath. A constitutional conservative, Thomas West is board certified in criminal law and has over 120 jury trials under his belt. No other candidate even comes close. He's a deacon at First Woodway Baptist and conservative to the core. To learn more, visit thomaswestforjudge.com. This ad was paid for by the Thomas West Campaign in compliance with the Judicial Campaign Fairness Act.
Baylor football fans, now is the time to order your reserve parking and tailgate spaces for the 2020 Baylor football season. Brazos Parking, locally owned and operated, is located at 1400 Martin Luther King Boulevard across from McLean Stadium and is home for the best tailgating in Waco. Go to BrazosParking.com to learn about all the great amenities, including friendly customer service, site map, and easy reservation system. Remember, BrazosParking.com. That's B-R-A-Z-O-S Parking.com to reserve your game day destination.
It's a new year, and it's time to fire up the grill, heat up the oven, or get that deep fryer going to enjoy the top-quality products at Waco Custom Marketplace. Hi, this is David Smoke. And live crawfish season is here, so it's time to prepare, boil, and enjoy delicious crawfish, and give Waco Custom Marketplace a call to order your bag of their finest crawfish, available right now. Crawfish Boil Box includes 5 pounds of red beet potatoes, 30 corn cobettes, 5 pounds of sausage, and plenty of Louisiana boil seasoning. And make your order now for live crawfish and pick it up in time for the weekend. Let Waco Custom Marketplace be your one-stop shop for team gatherings, school functions, and fundraisers. And remember, the Crawfish Boil Box includes red beet potatoes, corn cobettes, sausage, and plenty of Louisiana boil seasoning. Serving Waco restaurants and families since 1940, Waco Custom Marketplace, 425 Lake Air Drive, or WacoCustomMarketplace.com.
UBO Business Services offers the best office copiers available. Our brand-agnostic approach allows our business analysts to select the right multifunction copier for your office that meets both your budget and functionality requirements. www.ubo.com.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, the phone lines are open at 254-662-1660 and the Bush's Chicken text line as well. At the same number, 254-662-1660. Got some Baylor baseball versus Arkansas Pine Bluff tickets that we're giving away this afternoon. And also talking some Baylor basketball right out of the gates. Fifth week in a row at number one, hosting game day on Saturday with number three Kansas coming to town. And let's go to the phone lines and talk to Ken. Ken, you're on ESPN Central Texas. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just, you know, you were talking about the Baylor basketball team and how well they've been playing and how well they're doing this year. And this isn't really something new. Scott's been having those guys come up on the rise ever since he arrived here. And I just wonder how many people might be willing to call in at this point in time and admit they were wrong when they were saying Scott Drew can't coach, all he can do is recruit. And I'd love to hear from some of those guys who might be eating a little crow right now, because, quite frankly, I think Scott Drew is the right man for Baylor, and obviously he's a heck of a coach. So just thought I'd throw that out there and see if anybody's willing to step up.
Yeah, Ken, appreciate the phone call. There's a lot of folks for
I'll step up.
Many
I'll,
years.
I'll step up. I have no problem with that. I said multiple times I thought that there was a point that Scott Drew could get you to and then couldn't get you over it. It felt like it was stuck at a certain rut for a little while. And so I thought that, hey, you know, you need to expect more. So maybe, you know, what Scott Drew has done here has been great. And I've never been against Scott Drew. I just thought that he might have had a ceiling. Now it looks like his ceiling is a lot higher than it was.
Yeah, I'll eat that too. I mean, it was funny.
I have no problem with that.
When Baylor won, somebody apparently found a tweet that I'd tweeted like 5 or 6 years ago.
It's
like draft night when you get your old tweets dug up.
And retweeted it, and it was about Scott and the questions I had about him coaching. But, you know, I'll say this. Like, I think he had some teams where he did have big-time recruits, with, you know, the Perry Jones era and Isaiah Austin that I thought kind of underachieved. But I'll totally eat that, you know, I had questions about him as a coach, and that's not the case anymore. I'll also say, though, like, I think we miss sight of sometimes we talk about players all the time growing and improving. It's just on the court. But I also feel like we don't really factor in that coaches can improve a lot, too.
I agree.
And Scott took this job in a terrible situation. And he also took this job when he was very young. And he had, like, no head coaching experience. And I feel like as he's been here forever now, and he's grown a lot in that role and has turned into a fantastic guy. X's and O's wise, and also say, like, being around him in the program, I've gained a lot respect for him too, just said his character and how he handles himself. And
I think
how
he's been willing to change
guys.
Too.
But yeah, I think he
you
has
know what I mean.
Well.
He hasn't just been stuck in a I have to do things this certain way. This is the only way to do it. I mean, when push came to shove last year, what'd he do? He changed the whole face of the team.
He did. And I mean, when Tristan Clark went down, I remember Paul kept sending us that text.
Yep.
It was before they played Kansas and they got beat that day at the Farrell Center. But he sent us a text that Tristan Clark was out for the year, and pretty much all of us were like, well,
there goes that season.
Yeah, there goes y'all season. Good luck. we're looking at an NIT berth probably at best, and they certainly didn't do that. And then this year they've been incredible. So yeah, I'll take it on the chin for that. That one time I thought that Scott was not the best in-game coach out there, and I think he's proven me and a lot of people wrong, and I doubt there's anybody now that holds that opinion.
No, yeah, I think if you are digging your heels in and still fighting that fight of Scott Drew can't coach, you're on a very lonely island right now. Now, that's not to say that any criticism hasn't been warranted. Certainly there have been times, you know, where individually he's probably maybe perhaps been deserving of, you know, shouldn't have burned that timeout, should have maybe used that differently, should have maybe had a different lineup in there. All coaches are going to have those moments that you can second guess, but there were some times where, you know, especially a couple years ago, it felt like when the recruiting wasn't even up to really the level that it had been, or at least it sort of felt that way, that he had been getting those five-star type of players, and maybe the teams weren't as good all the way around, but he had some star power, and they'd go on a little bit of a run, what have you, but kind of run into a bit of a wall, and then all of a sudden the star power wasn't really there. You're wondering, like, where is that even going, and is recruiting an issue? I mean, is that something we need to start becoming concerned about? Do we need to become concerned about there being a bit of a ceiling on the program? Are they ever going to get over the Kansas hump? Are they going to, you know, all these different things? But like Steven said, and I think this is something that we all need to remind ourselves of, and something that doesn't get put out there nearly often enough, coaches can get better. You know, coaches can grow and adjust and evolve, and not everybody wins Super Bowls or national championships in their first 5 to 10 years. You know, some guys win it after like year 20.
Right.
And so maybe we're seeing Scott Drew just become the finalized, better, you know, ultimate version of himself because he's just got more experience. He's got the right set of players.
I was about to say, the pieces are better.
Yeah.
The pieces are a team and not really individuals.
There's not a five-star, but the good thing is they don't need a five-star, and a five-star would probably wreck this chemistry. You know, that type of a one-and-done style player, you know, you almost want those guys, and you're like, oh, man, Texas has got Mo Bamba, and they've got this guy. And but what have they won with those guys? Absolutely nothing to speak of. And so, yeah, Q, that star power wasn't there. I mean, Jared Butler kind of started to approach that, and I saw he's like in the round two of a mock draft I saw today, like 45th overall or something.
Right.
So,
which is like round six in the NFL draft.
Yeah, I mean, that's like you may play, you may not.
Exactly.
You know, you may not even be on the team the next year if you're drafted late second round or mid second round. But yeah, I mean, besides him though, I mean, who's Maceo Teague? Who's Freddie Gillespie?
Exactly.
Who's this guy? And like they've just all come. It's like a bunch of ingredients he took out of his fridge to make a meal, and it turned out he made the best meal he's ever made.
And sometimes that's how it shakes out. I mean, sometimes you see teams that win the national championship, and it's not always the team with the five, you know, high school All Americans, the McDonald's All Americans. It's not always all those guys. It's the guys that just play like a team.
Yeah, Ken, I think you make a great point though, because there have been some out there who have been, you know, intentionally vocal about their dislike or their non-belief in where he could lead the program. You know, I'm not talking about the folks who have maybe had doubts at different turns, especially when you've been coaching in one place as long as he had. Inevitably, everybody in the fan base is going to have a moment or two or a season or two where they're going to go, like, I'm not so sure about all this. But there has been, you know, a minority group, a vocal group that has been all about Scott Drew can't coach, or he can't get it done, or he can't do this. And, man, this is a really tough year for them, let me tell you that much. And I don't think they're going to be calling Ken. I don't think that those folks, intentionally malicious, if you will, at times, are going to be too quick to pick up the phone.
And Corey, my dude, hit us up on the Bush and Chicken text line and said, is Scott Drew a good recruiter? I'm not really sure he's a great recruiter, but he's a tremendous developer. What he does with less talent is amazing. Getting kids to buy into the red shirt deal is a huge for his program.
Yeah, not a lot of programs are going to be able to red shirt with as much frequency as he has been able to do. Not many programs are going to be able to get as much out of the talent in each individual player as he's been able to do. Not many coaches are going to be able to flip their style and in a short amount of time, in the grand scheme of things, be able to win at a higher level than they've ever won before. Yeah, not many coaches are going to be able to do what he's been able to put together this year, and that's why they're number one for a fifth week in a row. And had a couple of stats that I saw. I stole these from Sikkim365, but being as I'm a member/employee over there, I don't feel too bad about it. An interesting stat from, and this was actually from Reddit, so I definitely don't feel bad about taking this stat because it's taken from Reddit. So yesterday's win, or Saturday's win, Baylor over West Virginia, took the men's basketball program to an all-time record of 1,374 and 1,374. They are 500 all-time as a program. Now, what's interesting about that stat, because that's not impressive, right? Like all-time 500 program. And you think about, they've won 20-plus straight games, and they're now to 500 all time. But what's impressive about that, the last time Baylor was at 500 as a basketball program or better, now being at 1374 and 1374, was the First World War, which was fought over 100 years ago. So for the first time in over 100 years, they are 500 in men's basketball. That's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty incredible. Another one, number of weeks ranked in the AP Top 25 before Scott Drew, Baylor basketball as a program. And people have been around Waco a long time. Like, the basketball program was forever, like, it was not good, right? So a lot of these stats, they have a history of just really bad numbers associated with them. So you think about the hole he's had to dig out of it, and it makes that even more impressive. But a number of weeks ranked in the AP Top 25, just ranked in the Top 25 before Scott Drew got to Waco. Three times in the AP Top 25, once in 1949 and two times in 1969. That was all of the top 25 rankings for Baylor basketball before Scott Drew. Three times, number of weeks in the rankings post Scott Drew, 132. So 132 to 3, not a bad number there. And they are also now going to become the, and I kind of mentioned this stat earlier, but the official stat, the first school to host College Game Day in football and basketball, same calendar year since Michigan State back in the 2015-16 calendar year. But that's incredibly impressive. I mean, you think about just the hole that he dug this program out of, the time that he took over this program, and then just the number of weeks ranked and all that. And it goes to show you, too, like, we take things for granted, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, they can't get into the top 10, though, or they can't maintain a top 10 ranking or whatever. But, like, they were ranked three times in the top 25 before he even got here. So some perspective is needed at times. Not that you settle and think that, right, oh, well, it's better than it was. But, you know, for anybody who maybe was starting to sell a little bit, he has taken it to a whole nother level.
He really has. And one thing to remember is that also gives a lot of credit to his longevity that he's had at Baylor.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like
he's
only been here a couple years. I mean, he's been here for quite a while now. And again, has taken the program from where it was to where it's at right now, which is awesome. But really good for Baylor to be able to hold on to him when a lot of people, including myself, thought, okay, you've reached the ceiling. You can't do any better. And they continue to believe in him, and he continued to believe in what he was doing. And so together, the university and Scott Drew have made this marriage work and continue on.
Yeah, they have. It's been a beautiful little marriage. It's certainly experiencing its best times right now, and College Game Day will be here in about 5 days, so that is going to be one hot ticket. The game was already sold out as of last week, so if you're trying to find ways to get a ticket, good luck to you. I'm sure we'll have some at some point this week, you know, but I don't know if it's going to be more than like a pair, and I don't even know if this show will be able to get our hands on any. So,
we going to get some. Hopefully
we do, but I know that's one hot ticket.
Yeah, it is.
And so be tuned in definitely for any word that we might be registering some folks for those tickets, because that's going to be one of the hotter pairs we've had in quite some time.
Me and Paul are going to have to arm wrestle for who gets to give them out, what show gets to give them out. I would say Smokey, but he's been looking swole lately, so I don't think I want to test my luck on arm wrestling with Smokey. But Paul, I got him.
Paul,
I got him.
Paul,
yeah, I got him. He's in love right now, so I got him. I'll get him while he's slipping.
Oh, yeah. Miss Tennessee. That's right. Miss Nashville.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, hey, if you want to chime in on Baylor basketball and this run that they're on, or some of the other events that occurred this weekend that we're about to touch on, baseball, softball, everybody was in action this weekend. We're going to cover it all and kind of recap it for you. But if you want to be a part of the show and you want to register for these Baylor baseball tickets versus Arkansas Pine Bluff, a game tomorrow, Bears 2-1 after this series versus Nebraska to open the season, 254-662-1660. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Big 12 basketball all season long with Pat and John on ESPN Central Texas.
The Bears back in action Tuesday in Norman against the Oklahoma Sooners. 7:30 for the countdown to tip-off. 8 p.m. tip-off Tuesday for the Bears and the Sooners.
Follow the Bears all season long here on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas.
I hate my job,
but I don't mind getting up in the morning.
I dread each day,
but I can't wait to get out of bed.
You ask me why,
and what I'll say to you is true. Well, you can get breakfast tacos at Rudy's Barbecue. Scrambled eggs and brisket, they ain't fooling around. Salsa Draft, son, they're the best in town. Barbecue for breakfast, yes, it's true. Put a smile on your morning at Rudy's Barbecue.
Next in line.
When it comes to production print providers, did you know UBO Business Services is the only dealership in North America that is allowed to offer the top three industry leaders, Xerox, Konica Minolta, and Ricoh? The compelling reason for this is the industry reputation UBO Business Services has obtained, that being the premier service provider of office technology in all of North America. Make a winning decision today and call Sean Hunt at UBO Business Services, 254-772-1600 or www.ubo.com.
The Waco Hippodrome has great shows. A Robin Williams comedy tribute with David Bourne on February 20th. The Paul Brock Band is bringing high-powered Irish music to the Hippodrome on February 26th. Plus, don't miss their one-of-a-kind Beatles tribute, Beatlemania 64, on March 6th. Be sure to catch a movie. Birds of Prey and Thonic are playing right now. Tickets at WacoHippodromeTheater.com. Try the Raleigh Diner for lunch. Their $10 lunch special includes a select entree, two sides, a dessert, and a drink.
Hi, my name is Amanda Cunningham. I am a local realtor that has a passion for people. I've helped clients buy and sell over 80 homes in 2019 and would love to help you buy or sell that perfect home. You deserve to get top dollar for your home. Listing with an experienced agent that specializes in not only promoting your home, but helping you get your home buyer ready is key. I have a team of people around me that make what I do each day possible. If you are searching for that perfect home, your experience should be pleasant and stress-free. Call me today. I want to meet you. 254-495-0338. Google Amanda Cunningham Realtor with Coldwell Banker Apex to find my website, Facebook, and more.
Hey guys, what month is it?
Month.
What's your favorite month?
Month.
What's your favorite month?
Truck month.
That's Sequoia Family Ford. Come save on our full line of trucks and SUVs, including the F-Series and the all-new Ford Escape.
Don't miss Truck Month going on now at Sequoia Family Ford, where our family makes the difference.
Hello again, everyone. It's Jason Miller with Syntex Rehab in Harker Heights and in Belton. And today I want to talk to those of you who are age 50 and older. Often when we get to the age of 50, our backs start to remind us that we aren't in our 20s anymore, and doing the things that we love to do can be harder to do. Back pain can get in the way of everything, from your work to your golf game to even getting a good night's sleep. But what is the first thing that we often do? We go straight for the pain pills. But what do those do? They mask the pain for a little while, and sometimes they don't even do that. You don't have to just live with it. Go to my website at syntexrehab.com and download my free report, 9 Easy Ways to End Back Pain and Stiffness Without Painkillers. That's syntexrehab.com, and you can click on the download that's directly below my welcome video. If you have any questions at all, you can chat with me directly on the website. But be sure to download the free report, 9 Easy Ways to End Back Pain and Stiffness Without Painkillers, at syntexrehab.com. Don't let back pain keep you out of doing the things that you like.
Welcome back to Unnecessary Roughness. A Turbo Boost solid-state hard drive can speed up your computer. Drop by Prompt Technology in Waco today to learn more. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
Welcome back, kid. Is this anything new? Is this going to be in Cover 3? Miles and Mason?
No, I mean, we could bring it up. I was thinking about it in Cover 3 just because I have so many questions behind it. I'm just not sure of how we got to this point right now, and how I'm just shocked that Myles Garrett is still staying really strong and sticking by the fact that he says that Mason Rudolph hit him with some racial slur and that's why he went crazy. And I just don't hear anybody else, like a Pouncey or anybody, saying anything confirming that. So it just kind of makes me wonder when the hell's going on.
Yeah, I ask because we got ESPN on here in the studio, and as I look up coming out of the commercial break, Mike Tomlin's on NFL Live, and they were showing some tweets from Mason Rudolph, who was saying basically that Myles Garrett was full of it and saying that he had thrown out a racial slur prior to their dust-up a few months ago. And which obviously ultimately led to Myles Garrett's suspension for the rest of the year and then his reinstatement last week. And I mentioned it on Friday, I think, just was passing along some NFL news and notes that Myles Garrett was, I mean, I guess really standing by his claim that Mason Rudolph had said a racial slur to him before that fight that really set off that fight. But it's very confusing to me, too, because, I mean, absolutely nobody outside of Myles Garrett is coming forward to say or back up what he's saying. At the same time, I don't think that he's some, like, liar, some dude that's just going to run around, you know, making things up. Although I know that we can get in that situation when we put ourselves in a pinch like he did, that you're trying to save a little bit of face. But I don't know. It just feels like if that's the truth, then run with it and say it and,
right.
and back it up and all of that. But hopefully it is the truth for his sake, because he's just making it way, way worse by trying to, you know, shift the blame or try to add this element to the story. And I know he's said this all along.
Right.
The problem is he's the only one that's still been saying this all along.
But he didn't say it while he was suspended. He said it, you know what I mean? He said
when
it.
When he came back.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why did you not go on the campaign of, hey, this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened? And if he did, if he said this to Roger Goodell before he got reinstated, then how come it wasn't said? Like, okay, we're reinstating, you know, Myles Garrett, but we still are investigating because he still believes that Mason Rudolph said this and that's what triggered him. Because if Mason Rudolph did say that, that deserves an investigation.
Sure it does.
So I'm just kind of confused by the whole thing. And I know Mike Tomlin is hot. I'm not a big Mike Tomlin guy for multiple reasons, but Mike Tomlin is really, really hot about this whole situation. And that's why he's on NFL Live right now talking about it. You can see just his body language, looking at his face, how angry he is about it. He's one of those guys that you can tell how he feels just by looking at him.
And he should be, because if, you know, Myles Garrett's lying, and again, we don't know.
Right.
If Myles Garrett's lying, that's a really damning thing to put up against a guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really damning thing to say about Mason Rudolph, to paint him as a racist who's throwing out slurs in the middle of a football field. So, yeah, that's really damaging. And I'm torn because, you know, I'm hoping Myles Garrett's not lying, because I think he's a good dude ultimately, and I think he's a great player to watch. But it's kind of a... I don't know. I don't want him to be a liar, but I also don't want that to be true, because I would just hate for that to be true. That would fly for in anybody's mind, right? So, yeah, it's a weird deal. And I asked that as we're coming out of the break, like I said, because Tomlin's on NFL Live right now, and I'm just surprised this story still got legs, but legs it does have.
Right, and again, and I don't want to discredit Myles Garrett, because if he's still, you know, holding it down this long after it's happened, I mean, look, he was suspended for 6 games. I mean, he went through the course of the offseason so far. He went through the reinstatement process, and again, I haven't heard him say it during the reinstatement process. Now, we got hit up on the Bush's Chicken text line and said, yes, he did. I would love to hear when he said it during the reinstatement process, because I didn't hear it.
Well, he said it initially
before... Right when he got suspended.
Right.
Yeah, I know that. But I'm saying the whole time that he was suspended, the whole 6 games he was suspended, there was never a time where he came out multiple times and said, this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened. That was right as it got suspended. But later on, it didn't happen. I mean, mm-hmm. he didn't come out and say anything. And then when he gets reinstated, then all of a sudden he doubles down and says, okay, this is what happened.
He said in an interview on Outside the Lines that he told a teammate and he told John Dorsey, who's no longer the general manager
right.
with the Browns,
okay,
and they advised him not to say anything about it until
gotcha. Well, that makes sense.
He met with the commissioner.
Okay. Well, good to know the details.
Yeah, there. No. It is. It's really good. And that's why I wanted to know the details. And I would have loved for Commissioner, you know, to come out and say something about it. Because I think that he can't really ignore it, can he?
No.
I mean, I would think that you
yeah.
can't ignore something like that. That's pretty serious. So I would think that Commissioner Goodell would say, hey, he's being reinstated. But at the same time, we're still looking into it because he's claiming this is still going on. And again, I haven't, you know, listened to Roger Goodell this whole offseason, but I didn't hear him say that either.
Yeah, it's just a really weird situation, right? It's not something I thought we'd be discussing during the offseason, really. I thought, you know, he'd get put back into the league or taken off the suspension list and would resume, you know, just getting back to it. Mason Rudolph would go his way. Myles Garrett would go his way. They'd meet up next year. Rudolph not likely to be the quarterback at that point, so really any preview of them reuniting would be kind of all for naught, I feel like, but I'm sure it would get brought up with their 2 meetings next year. But yeah, I mean, here we are. It's, what, 4 months after the mm-hmm. fact almost, and it's still a he said situation.
Now, I mean, I will say I got hit up multiple times when this whole situation happened, and there was multiple people that apparently know Mason Rudolph, and I'm not going to put that on them because I don't know him, and said that wouldn't surprise him. You know, if that's what happened, that wouldn't have been a surprise to him. And again, that's just people that apparently know him, but that's he'd say, she'd say, not anything that I know as a matter of fact.
Right, right. And as we know, there can just be people out there that throw stuff out
exactly.
to be damaging, to hurt somebody's reputation or to whatever, or they could be telling the truth because they know him from back in the day. But yeah, again, that's more of he said.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's really nothing concrete.
Who really knows? But that's always plagued me is just how no one heard anything. If there was something, mm-hmm. because if you look at every clip, there's always people around. It's never like they're the two of them, and they're like 50 yards away from everybody else. I mean, there's a Pouncey here. There's a ref here.
And that's the thing, man, especially with the Pouncey, man.
Because I feel like he had to turn around and hit Rudolph.
Right, because he went in after Myles Garrett. I mean, he was in there slinging those things, man, trying to get after him. And I just feel like if he had heard that, and look, he might not have heard it, but if he had heard it, I think he would have reacted a whole lot different than he did.
Certainly, certainly. By the way, that we watched the Aaron Hernandez Netflix
documentary.
Steven, did you ever get around to watching that?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
And let me say, that racial slur was thrown around multiple times in that.
Aaron Hernandez was dropping it like
exactly.
Nothing.
That's what I'm saying. There was multiple people. So, I mean, again, I don't think the Pouncey brothers or Pouncey twins or any of the Pounceys, you know, would allow Mason Rudolph just to say it like it's no big thing, because these are dudes that are like hood dudes that were saying it. Mm-hmm. They ain't no... Ain't no just some cat that's the quarterback of the team that's saying it.
No, Aaron Hernandez had a pass.
Right, exactly.
It, but
it wasn't Tim Tebow coming out being like,
no.
Hey, what's up, Mike? You know.
But that's another part of that documentary. And look, it's been out now for like a month and a half or something along those lines. So it's a bit out there. But the reason why I ask is because they've got some of the jail calls with one of the Pounceys and Aaron Hernandez. And mm-hmm. It's interesting to hear those cats on a recorded phone call. There's nothing bad said or anything like that, but yeah, those are just rough hombres.
Yes,
just putting it that way.
Yes, no doubt.
So really rough hombres, and you mentioned Tom Brady too. The little post game handshake with him and Tebow, mm-hmm. where Tebow or Brady's like, "Yeah, I got a couple of your guys, old Aaron or whatever," and Tebow's like, "Oh yeah, they're great guys," and the look on Brady's face is just like, "Yeah, sure but yeah, total nut jobs, but cool." Yeah, that's such a funny interaction because Tebow's like, "Oh, they're such great guys," and Brady just did not respond like you thought he probably would.
Man, no wonder Urban Meyer had some kind of health issues.
No kidding, man.
Jeez,
my heart would go out too.
I'm saying, man, the characters he was trying to keep under control is just amazing.
At the same time, all willingly, because he knew that they were going to help him win championships.
No doubt.
That's a great documentary,
though. Yes,
it is. It really is.
Yes.
It's must-watch if you're even if you're not a sports
fan. I sat
fan.
Down to watch episode one, not knowing that 2 and 3 were going to follow immediately, and I did not go to bed on time that night. Let's just put it like that. I could not walk away from it.
Yeah. I didn't know a lot of stuff that was in there, you know, such as the relationship with his mother and really his parents as a whole kind of set the template, but then his aunt, who was like the cool aunt that mm-hmm. was probably too cool.
She was way too cool.
His sexual escapades that weren't all that well publicized at the time.
A little dibble and dabble, but you never really heard any details. And then come to find out that quarterback of their team that apparently was his like guy or girl guy, whatever you want to say, was a little suspect as well.
Yeah, there was
he wasn't
that.
Really like the the star quarterback. He had like 3 career passes or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
There was also some of the details of just the crime scene mm-hmm. and like the Odin Lloyd crime scene of like the bubble gum and it's amazing. It's a really good watch, and even if you know most of the details, you'll still find yourself picking up on some things. So that's how we went from Myles Garrett and racial slur allegations against Mason Rudolph to the Aaron Hernandez documentary on Netflix. But
and the guy that got shot in the eye was in it.
Yeah, he
I
was.
Remember I went on a huge rant as soon as I saw it in the documentary. I was like, that's the guy. That's the guy who got shot in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was going to rhyme that, but I did. But yeah, that was just,
shot in the face.
Yeah, man. Like, that's not one of those things that's not okay. You know what I mean? You can get shot in the arm and you could be okay.
That's cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's cool,
no.
I guess. You can get a little street cred if you really want to, if that's the life you're trying to live.
A little scar.
Not me. Yeah. A little flesh wound. I'm not trying to live that life. I don't want no kind of battle wounds. But this dude got shot in the face, in the eye.
Yeah.
And was in court to identify Aaron Hernandez. Man, I don't know about you, but I ain't identifying nobody after I get shot in the eye.
Change your perspective on life real quick.
You ain't lying.
Man, very lucky, that guy. No doubt about it. But yeah, if you want to check out the documentary, he makes an appearance. And just all of Aaron's escapades, really fascinating stuff. But I know we'll have more NFL news and notes. We'll cover 3 coming up. But with that Mason Rudolph, Myles Garrett story, and us touching on it very briefly on Friday, I was curious as to your thoughts on that as well. So we will take a break right here. It's 12:45, and we'll come back with more. It's ESPN Central Texas.
Recently on the John Morris Show.
Holly Rowe, ESPN, with us.
And I kind of thought back, and the very last time I did the Big 12 Big Monday game at Baylor men's basketball, the very next morning I went in for surgery. And I remember working that game and thinking, nobody here knows that I've got this cancer, I've got this big tumor, and I'm going in for surgery tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. as soon as I fly home to Salt Lake City. And I just remember thinking what a surreal night it was to work this game and be there. And then you fast forward 3 years, and here I am back again. And all these people have my back and are supporting me. And kind of all that fear and terror and everything I had been feeling kind of bubbles up within me that night. And I just realized, man, I've been in a hard battle. I've had a lot of really good support.
Wow.
And I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for all the good support I've had through this whole journey.
The John Morris Show, weekdays at 9 a.m. here on ESPN Central Texas.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley's show, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Visit us online at turnerchevy.com for the best deal on your new Chevrolet. Stop by and see all the new 2020 Silverado 1500 today.
Learn strategies for building wealth and financial success in retirement. Plan well, retire well, live well. Tune in Saturdays at 8 a.m. for the Lovett Financial Show, or visit Lovett Financial for a complimentary financial review.
The Boston Marathon bombing. 4 Americans murdered. Over 260 injured. The Muslim terrorists even exploited welfare programs to help fund their attack. Because today, non-citizens can get food stamps and other benefits, costing us over $30 billion a year. President Trump wants to end this abuse, but the Democrats are blocking him. Pete Sessions believes welfare benefits should be reserved for American citizens. In Congress, Pete Sessions will stand with President Trump to build the wall and remove these immigration incentives that are unfair and sometimes even dangerous for American taxpayers. Republican Pete Sessions, a true conservative who will fight for us.
I'm Pete Sessions, and I approve this message because taxpayer-funded benefits should be reserved for American citizens.
Paid for by Pete Sessions for Congress.
Okay, so what's the most important point about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way, so it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
Your CBD store, the only designated CBD store in Central Texas, located in Hewitt. We've created a warm, inviting space where you can feel comfortable asking the questions you wanted to ask about CBD. Every product has independent lab testing available. Our staff is here to help you find an award-winning product that's right for you. Come see for yourself and get back to being you. Visit us at your CBD store on Hewitt Drive, next to Cafe Cappuccino.
And welcome back in to UNR. Got some XFL highlights. You guys watched the XFL this weekend?
Not a second.
All right.
And did not miss any of it. Didn't even worry about not seeing any of it.
Yeah, I didn't catch much of it either. I followed the Renegades game a little bit. Saw they ended up winning, but once again, that offense kind of struggled. They finally scored a touchdown, though, and I think ended up scoring a couple in a victory. So good for them.
Yeah, the big Landry Jones return. I was just curious as that is now heading into its third week of existence.
It just doesn't feel like it's something I need to pay attention to. You know what I mean? Like, I'm more interested in what's going on in free agency. I'm more interested in guys that are getting cut, guys that are going to be available come March 18th. I'm more interested in what's going on with the draft than anything that's going on in the XFL. But to their credit, I believe that they have one guy that could potentially be a star, the Houston quarterback that apparently used to play for Matt Rhule.
Phillip Walker.
That used to play for Matt Rhule at Temple. So that's, I guess, a step in the right direction if they're answering the question I had last week of where's your stars coming from. Apparently he's interesting enough to watch.
Yeah, he had another big weekend as Houston beat St. Louis, and we'll take a little bit more time to kind of go through some of that. But I was just curious, and I haven't seen any of the ratings reports just yet. Cardale Jones getting some spotlight once again. Phillip Walker, Landry Jones returned for Dallas and was able to at least help them get to a win.
Apparently, Cardale Jones is the other star of the league, and so that kind of concerns me when Cardale Jones is the other star. Even though I know he did well at Ohio State, I get it, but I think we kind of know who Cardale Jones is. The problem is when you've been in the NFL and you've shown who you are, similar to Landry Jones, those guys don't excite me. I've already seen what they could do.
Right.
Cardale Jones was, how many teams has he been on since he was in the NFL? Like two or three?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, he was a Charger backup for a while. I don't know what team he ended up on last year, but maybe it was the Chargers. Who knows? No, I think it was Seattle. I think it was in Seattle. I don't know where he was. But either way, that tells you all you need to know. I don't know where he was. He was a backup somewhere. And so now he's in the XFL, and he's apparently one of their stars. And, you know, at least Phillip, what's his last name, Walker?
P.J. Walker.
Yeah, there you go. P.J. Walker, at least he, you know, hasn't touched the NFL yet. And, you know, he's someone that people are interested about.
Yeah, I call him Phillip. I guess he's going by P.J.
All right, well,
so
that's
P.J. Walker.
Probably do that, too.
You're leading candidate for XFL MVP.
But then, look, I mean, they just had his stats up there. It was like 21 for 30 for 170 yards.
Right. Doing some nice scrambling, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's fun.
In the pocket.
That's fun.
I don't feel like it needs to be, you know, I'm looking at this, and those are atrocious uniforms, by the way, for the Vipers. Those are hideous. But I kind of like that it doesn't need to be as big and center stage as the NFL. I think it's cool to have a league that's maybe just kind of like you pay attention, but you don't have to watch every single moment. And kind of nice, you could just like hop on the couch on a Saturday afternoon after running errands or something. I'm like, oh, hey, it's just L.A. Dallas XFL game. That's cool. And it's not something that you have to, like, get psyched up for or, like, into. Like, you can just watch casually and not have it be a big stressful thing, if that makes sense. I kind of like that there's at least just an alternative and an option to just kind of have some football on TV. And it's not, you know,
feels like a pickup game.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like, a pickup game.
Pickup game?
Yeah, it just kind of feels like a bunch of dudes went down to the park and said, hey, man, we're going to run some football real quick.
It's a little bit more put together than that, but I'm sure that there's, you know, folks out there getting those same vibes as you when it comes to that. But they did have their second weekend come off pretty successfully. Some more games in the books, and we can take a look at that a little bit further later on. But, yeah, P.J. Walker, the former Temple Al quarterback, kind of the guy leading the charge right now for this league.
Yeah, I saw John McClain put out either a tweet or even an article about him talking about it'd be interesting to see if Matt Rhule gives him a chance in Carolina. I thought that was kind of interesting. I was, man, I better see this guy play for a few more weeks before I start talking about him going to the NFL. But that's cool if he's already getting a little bit of interest like that.
Well, one of the ideas I've seen thrown out there is for I kept meaning to ask you this last week, and I can't let it go anymore because this kind of ties into what I was going to say, but I was very surprised after the first weekend to see XFL scores on NFL.com.
Right.
And I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked you, like, is there an ownership situation going on here? But there's not, that we're aware of.
Right.
So that was very bizarre.
Yeah, they got articles on there of XFL, talk about the weekend and what happened and the highlights and stuff like that. Yeah, that is a little surprising. I expected to see it on, you know, ESPN.com, ESPNDallas.com, stuff like that. I was expected to see at least a local team, but yeah, I was kind of surprised to see it on NFL.com. I would think they try to separate themselves.
Yeah, or just go ahead and make it your minor league at this point, because one of the ideas I've heard people say is, you know, what if you had more of your backup quarterbacks from the NFL now, that they would get really sticky really quick because you'd be risking guys getting injured and they're playing year-round all of a sudden and all those types of things. But, yeah, if you were to take some of the backups off of these NFL rosters and place them in the XFL, what that could look like, and there'd be some of your star power, and I do think that would help tremendously, but I don't think we're anywhere close to that actually happening.
I definitely think they need some kind of minor leagues team, you know, a developmental league. I think that'd be great. I mean, we all know that they did that with NFL Europe and everything, but it just didn't shake out the right way. And
it seems like it's set up to succeed,
though. Yeah, I think that a minor league system, some kind of, you know, farm system or whatever would be a good idea for the NFL.
Well, just think if you had the NFL brand attached to this right now and your offseason is the NFL minor league and you're getting to see all these guys. And look, if you took some of the guys off the 53-man rosters or off the practice squads who don't play that much or who need some seasoning, you throw them out there right now. Hey, they still get like a 3-4 month break before the NFL season starts. Who's the Cowboys' backup quarterback right now? Cooper Rush, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cooper Rush. If he was playing right now for the Dallas Roughnecks, I heard, I don't know if it was like Mickey or somebody made that suggestion last week.
Yeah.
It probably raised
my... It's like summer league basketball.
Yeah, it probably, you know, I'd probably like it more than the NBA G League. Mm-hmm. I'd probably tune in a bit more if Cooper Rush was out there for the the Renegades.
It might take that for the league to succeed. The only thing is, like you said, the first point you made was them getting injured. I mean,
yeah,
them playing in summer league and them playing, you know, actual football is going to be a little bit more difficult just because the risk of injury is so much higher.
Yeah.
Did you guys get a kick out of the Matt McGloin thing this weekend in the XFL?
Isn't that dude a clown? An absolute
clown. Do you have his jersey?
Clown.
Hell
no. I knew that dude was a joke. That guy was always a preseason hype. Like, he was a good quarterback in preseason, and that's about where it ended. It was preseason. That dude, how are you going to go in there and dog your team's offensive game plan and talk about we got to change the whole thing up when it's really you that stinks?
Yeah, so he told Diana Rossini, I think it was at halftime,
that
they had changed the whole game plan. Nothing was working. And then he promptly got benched after that.
Said it was one of the worst games he's ever been a part of.
Yeah, and so anyway, Matt McGloin might be on his way out in the XFL, even though they might like that too. I mean, that was good drama for a game that was really, besides that, there was nothing interesting about it.
Yeah, he's going to go join, who is the defensive coordinator that was cut loose after week one?
Oh, yeah, Pep.
Yeah.
Pepper Johnson.
Join Pep Johnson in the free unemployed line after week two.
I will say they're very active, though, in the XFL. I mean, they've had multiple trades.
They have.
You know, they've had a defensive coordinator fired. They got Matt McGloin getting all squirrely, and then the head coach, Kevin Gilbride, coming back and firing back, saying, I need to go talk to him, and he's not playing very well. I mean, that is pretty XFL-type type, you know, drama, like a wrestling type drama, but that's funny.
Yeah, it's different. That's for sure. It's different. If you watch the XFL this weekend, let us know. What'd you think of weekend number 2, 254-662-1660? You still plugged in, or is it more of the casual viewing, or is it completely off of your radar? Where are we at 2 weeks in to the XFL? 254-662-1660. Coming up next, we'll have NFL news and notes with Q's Cover 3. This ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Lady Bears Softball on 101.3 FM.
Baylor Softball back on the air Wednesday from Getterman Stadium hosting UT Arlington. 6:15 for the warm-up show, 6:30 first pitch Wednesday for Lady Bears Softball.
Baylor Big 12 Softball on 101.3 FM.
Boozer's is the wedding ring store and more. If you're ready to get engaged or already married and want to upgrade your wife's ring for a special anniversary, Boozer's is the place to go. With the largest selection of premier quality diamond engagement rings and wedding rings in Central Texas. They have 7 cases with over 300 styles of rings from top designers like Natalie Kay. Choose from yellow, white, or rose gold, plus beautiful top quality loose diamonds. With an in-house jewelry, they can also custom make anything you want. Bring in a picture or drawing and let Boozer's create your one-of-a-kind pendant or ring. They can even use some of your old gold and diamond jewelry to create something new. At Boozer's, you'll find a great selection of quality timepieces, and Boozer's is the place for expert watch maintenance and repairs, too. They specialize in expert Rolex watch repair using genuine Rolex parts. For fine jewelry, watches, custom work, and more, go to Boozer's on Valley Mills and Lake Air Drive in Waco.
Visit Balcones Whiskey Distillery Tasting Room and Gift Shop, located in downtown Waco. Grab some friends and enjoy whiskey flights, refreshing cocktails, gift shopping, distillery tours, and special events. Sign up for one of their 10 weekly tours offered Tuesday through Saturday. Check their website, balconesdistilling.com/visit, for available times and book your spot today. Tours are $15 a person and include a tasting. Always distilled to appreciate. Balcones is located downtown on the corner of Franklin and 11th, open Tuesday through Sunday.
Boat show season is here, but only the best dealers offer the biggest savings. At Marineland Boating Center, we're home to Quest Pontoons, the number one selling compact pontoon powered by Mercury outboards. Come in today and select from over 14 Quest Pontoons in stock powered by Mercury outboards. Rebates from $500 to $750 only at Marineland Boating Center, I-35 at Loop 340 South, or visit our website at MarinelandWacoYamaha.com.
Baylor University has 129 undergraduate degree programs. That's 129 ways to be you. Like a Dark Ages expert with a history degree, or a light unto the world with a BA in religion. Excel with the structure of engineering, or increase your interest in finance. Keep your head in the clouds in astronomy, or your feet on the ground with earth science. No matter what walk of life you choose, take the first step at Baylor, where lights shine bright.
Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, the team physicians of Baylor Athletics. Our doctors specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of any and all sports-related injuries. Celebrating over a decade of service to Central Texas, our doctors are equipped to handle a wide range of issues, whether it's your foot or ankle, your hand or wrist, knee and shoulder pain, or you're in need of our arthritis and total joint clinic. Trust the doctors that Baylor trusts. Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics. Our goal is to get you back in the game.
KRZI Waco, K256BW Waco, ESPN Central Texas.
3, 2, and showtime.
Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Boozer's Jewelers Premier Diamonds and the Wedding Ring Store on the corner of Valley Mills at Lake Air in Waco. The 1 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Chapman's Bail Bonds.
Let's get it.
This is Unnecessary Roughness. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
It's the 1 o'clock hour of UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. And are we entering springtime or are we still in winter? Where are we right now?
I don't know, dog, because look, there was people out here washing cars earlier this morning, and we do that quite frequently around the radio station, and I almost fell for the banana in the tailpipe and got my car washed, but then I realized that it's supposed to rain like tomorrow or Wednesday, so then I didn't, but it looks really nice outside.
It's like the borderline where it's starting to become like uncomfortable humid-wise.
Yeah.
Just because we've been so used to the cool air, and so you, like, here, the AC takes like a day to adjust to whatever the
right.
weather is.
Yes.
So you walk in a day and it's like stale, it's mm-hmm. warm and humid. And yeah, it's got that humidity to it. So it feels like we're starting to maybe turn that corner, but I guess we're getting rain. So maybe
and
not.
And it was beautiful yesterday at Getterman Stadium, man. It was a really, really nice day.
High of 50 on Wednesday and 47 on Thursday.
So no.
So then it just craps on you again.
So we're
But I'm wearing shorts today.
You yeah. are. Hey, you yeah. looking like you are like good to go, too.
I am. Yeah,
you
I feel
know,
good.
I got these long sleeves on, and I'm thinking, man, I'm getting hot.
Right. I had to take the jacket off because it's a little bit too warm. But, yeah, I guess we're going to get a little taste of this and then back to the cold weather. But that's all right. So a lot to unpack from over the weekend. A big Baylor sports weekend. We got a little sidetrack with some Aaron Hernandez and what was that, Miles Garrett and stuff like that. But we got a Baylor sports weekend that was monstrous to talk about. And we've already talked a little bit about that number one men's basketball team. But right now, first things first, let's get into some NFL news and notes with Q's Cover 3.
At that fullback position, first and 10. Going deep and looking for Lyon. And picked off on the play, it's Peterson. Big time swipe in his second game back from the six-game suspension.
Field to throw again, looking toward the end zone for Beckham. He overthrows him, and Peterson gets the interception. He'll take a knee in the end zone. He promised Jay Feely, I'm doubting he'd get an INT, and he gets it here in the first quarter.
Touchback.
It's time for Cover 3 with your boy Q, brought to you by Centex Irrigation, Colby Carpenter of Keller Williams Realty, and Bella Therapies.
Right there, you heard both interceptions from Cardinals defensive back Patrick Peterson in 2019. If you remember, he played a shorter season. He had a six-game suspension because of PEDs. That was something that when I found out, it really hurt my feelings. But anyway, Patrick Peterson did come back after that six-game suspension and played throughout the season. Didn't play very well to start off things, and it's kind of expected coming off a suspension. You figured he was going to be a little rusty, and he was. But down the stretch of the season, he was really good and picked up those two interceptions right there. And the organization was very happy with the way he finished off the 2019 season. If you remember, man, a couple seasons ago, Patrick Peterson had requested a trade, and I'm demanding out of Arizona, and then all of a sudden he backtracked and said that he wants to be in Arizona, and you know, and then he gets popped for the PEDs, and then it's like, oh, Arizona's going to trade him, and nope, he's not getting traded, and now GM Steve Keim actually said him and the owner have been talking, and they want Patrick Peterson to retire as a Cardinal. So he's going into the last year. 2020 is the last year on his deal. He's going to make a little bit over $12 million, and that's coming off a $70 million contract extension. So he's one of the few that actually signed a five-year deal and is going to play the whole thing out. He's actually they're looking at giving him a contract extension to keep him in Arizona. And like they said, try to make him retire with the Cardinals. He's currently 30 years old and still playing at a high level when he's not suspended. And again, that suspension was a little blip on the radar because Patrick Peterson has had a pretty clean career so far in the league after being the fifth pick overall. I forget what year he was drafted, but many years ago, it feels like at this point. But yeah, so looks like Patrick Peterson is going to stay with the Cardinals, and you could look for an extension coming pretty soon his way.
Well, it's amazing what having a quarterback that'll win you some games can do for morale around a franchise. Mm-hmm. I think that plays a large part in not giving Kyler Murray credit for Patrick Peterson perhaps retiring a Cardinal. But I think when you look at a team that initially looked as though, all right, we're going to take some lumps and we're going to maybe Larry Fitzgerald retires, maybe Patrick Peterson goes off into free agency, and all of a sudden Kyler starts doing his thing. Kingsbury proves that, you know, maybe he can hang at this level, and all of a sudden Fitzgerald's like, I'm going to come back.
I'm coming back again.
Peterson's like, I might retire a Cardinal. So it's, yeah, you get a little bit of fun going, and all of a sudden everybody's a tune changes a little bit, but good for him, you know. Good for him to overcome a little bit of a setback and to prove that he's still, you know, one of the best out there in the league. And I like when guys stay with their teams.
Right.
So I think this is a good situation as opposed to whoever I was, you know, kind of not capping on last week, but the guy, it was...
Oh, from the Redskins.
Yeah, yeah.
Quentin Dunbar,
you know, I want a new contract.
Right.
Okay, we'll play.
Right.
You know, play more, whatever. It's good to see guys, you know, maybe stick around the hometown after barking a little bit about wanting to get out.
And a little side note when it comes to the Cardinals has nothing to do with Patrick Peterson, but there was a rumor floating around that David Johnson was probably going to be released at some point. Steve Keim said that that is not an option. So he said David Johnson is going to remain a Cardinal. I don't know if they're going to try to reduce his contract a little bit, try to restructure his contract. Not too sure. He's due some hefty money, but that is not an option. And Patrick Peterson looks like he's going to be sticking around with the Cardinals. And like you said, Kyler Murray has put a little bit of juice into their veins. And even though I disagree with him winning Offensive Rookie of the Year, that's another argument for another day.
Never talked about that.
Yeah, that's because I was very angry about that. That happened while we were in Miami at the Super Bowl, and so I didn't have the opportunity to talk about it. I think Josh Jacobs got robbed. But again, that's a whole nother conversation. But to Kyler Murray's credit, being the number one overall pick, having all that pressure on him, going to a team like the Arizona Cardinals, and you're the small guy that's never going to make it in the NFL, to do what he did in 2019, you do got to give him credit for that. I will give him that.
Anybody who's not giving him credit is just a hater,
right?
Pure and simple. I mean, you're grasping at straws to not give him any credit. You can certainly have critiques of his game still. You could certainly say that you don't think he's ever going to lead him to a Super Bowl or whatever, but... Man alive, I don't know if there's ever been a pro athlete or just an athlete in general who has more often than not proven people wrong than Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yep.
I just can't,
he's won at every level.
I can't think of any example of somebody who in high school, in college, in the pros has just every time he thought, all right, there's no way he's going to be able to prove people wrong this time. Here he is proving people wrong again. I mean, he went from flame out at Texas A&M to Heisman Trophy winner, you know, to number one overall pick, and to proving that he can actually play in the league, because I was very curious. I mean,
I was skeptical. I didn't see it. I didn't believe it.
When his number was called out in Nashville, we were standing in the rain, and I remember two things, just being in the rain and wondering, like, how's this going to work if this is how the draft's starting off? Like,
right.
Poor people in Nashville, although it worked out okay. And two, I was just thinking, like, I wonder if this is going to be one of the biggest busts of all time, or if this is going to be like one of the most genius picks of all time. And right now it's more of the latter.
It looks good. It looks like a good pick. Obviously there's a lot of improvement that needs to be made, but
sure,
that's on the Cardinals team in general. That's not just with Kyler Murray. I mean,
he's got to
improve, but that whole team, including the coach, has to improve as well. But yeah, man, the one thing I'll say about Kyler Murray, and I have maintained, even though I was very skeptical about him being effective on the NFL level, is that he's won on every level.
Mm-hmm.
Every time everyone says he can't do something, he's done it.
And his speed is still speed.
Yep.
You know, whether the high school, college, or NFL level. Let me ask you this about Patrick Peterson, because I know we've got other things to talk about. But at 30 years old, what kind of a contract is he looking at?
The thing about the defensive back, it's pretty cool that the defensive back contracts, I mean, he's going to be coming off a $70 million deal with $12 million he's going to make this year. I mean, the highest paid guy in the league is about $15 million.
Hmm.
So he'll probably get a little bit of a raise, maybe a 2-3 year deal. Give him $14, $15 million. You can't really complain about that. You're one of the highest paid in the league, and you're still a little bit older. Why not?
Yeah, no, I certainly would not complain about a single month's paycheck that he gets.
No, not at all. And while speaking of defensive backs, the Lions have had talks. There's word out, according to Adam Schefter, that the Lions have had talks with multiple teams about trading for Darius Big Play Slay. And if you remember, and it sounds similar, it's because it is. They talked about him before the trade deadline, talking about moving on from him and trading him to some other team, and it was kind of silly then, and it seems silly now. But some of the things that a team that will acquire him have to do, not only do they have to give compensation to the Lions, some kind of draft pick compensation, they also have to give him a contract extension. And he's 29 years old. And so now, again, we're talking about guys and their money. So now, if you give up, say, what, a third-round pick for Darius Slay to the Lions, now you're looking on top of that and saying, okay, well, we got to give this guy a four-year contract extension, probably $14 or $15 million a year. Do you want to do that for a 29-year-old defensive back? Me, personally, I don't. Now, if you're one defensive back, one really good defensive back away from winning a championship like the Patriots were years ago when they went and got, Darrell Revis, then that makes sense. But if you're not one defensive back away from winning a championship, why do that?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to. I'm just wondering when Detroit's really going to have its ducks in a row and actually be about winning and do something.
And that's
something.
The other thing when it comes to Detroit. This is a year that they have to win. The owner said you have to win this year.
I forget they're in the league. I mean,
so
I,
does Detroit.
Honestly,
so do Detroit fans. Sorry, Tony.
If not for Matthew Stafford, I would totally forget that they were in the league. And I'm not.
And those rumors hit last week about him possibly being a trade candidate, even though the dead money that they would have on their salary cap just looks ridiculous. I mean, they'd have over $30 million in dead money if they traded him.
Yeah, they're not a player away from being contenders. They certainly could get better by giving away one of their better players for some compensation, so this makes sense for them. I'm just curious, like, what the big picture is for them, you know, because they have been a franchise or one of the handful that have never been to a Super Bowl, even though they've been around for forever. You know, it's one thing to say the Jaguars have never been there. Well, okay, they've been around since like 95.
They made one of the greatest of all time retire.
Yeah, they made one of the Barry Sanders.
Two of them.
The greatest of all time, in my opinion, running back-wise.
And then Calvin Johnson retired, too.
And Calvin Johnson, Megatron, one of the top whatever you want to throw out there wide receivers of all time. So, yeah, I mean, they're just kind of there. They're typically fourth place in their division, maybe third. And I don't know. Like they're at even more of a weird point now because like Stafford's borderline retirement age, and there's not really a whole lot around him to get all that excited about. So yeah, I mean that makes sense. I'm sure sure teams would line up to add Slay. I can hear Cowboys fans already saying we need a defensive back. But
oh yeah, Twitter's stupid with it. As soon as that report comes out, it's every single team insert at that team.
Oh well, yeah, it's what fans do. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm just curious of like what Detroit. When do they plan on winning?
What's the plan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. And is Matt Patricia the guy? It seems like he might not be the guy. Right. You know, it's just, I have no idea what Detroit's going to do. Matter of fact, they're mocked in most mock drafts, and I know we'll have a guest later on in the show talking mock drafts. They're mocked to go after and get Jeffrey Okuda.
Yeah.
And who's he? Defensive back.
Wow, so Slay,
you move
sense.
On from Slay, and you go get Okuda.
That's great. That's a smart move if you were to do all that. And he's certainly a great player to add, but they had great players every year and it never amounts to anything. Yeah, that's the Detroit Lions for you.
It really is. And man, this is some sad news right here out of D.C., out of the Redskins camp. Jordan Reed, tight end Jordan Reed. We all know that this guy is an injury waiting to happen all the time. But when it comes to concussions, man, that's really serious. And I don't like to joke about that. This dude is still in concussion protocol. This dude has been in concussion protocol since preseason. Of 2019. Preseason, ladies and gentlemen, over 6 months, well, just about 6 months, he's been in concussion protocol. At some point, it's time to hang it up and say enough is enough.
Yeah, I don't know why he hasn't done that yet.
I don't either. And Ron Rivera, who's the new head coach of D.C., said they're going to do everything they can to, exhaust every attempt to see if he's going to be worth anything, if they're going to release him, if they're going to try to move on from him. Obviously, they've been in contact and in conversations with Greg Olsen, the former Panthers tight end, trying to bring him in as a tight end. So the writing's on the wall for Jordan Reed. I don't know why he doesn't just go and make it official, man. This dude has had numerous concussions. I can't even count how many he's had, and that's only ones that we know about. This dude has been, if I've ever in concussion protocol for 6 months, you just need to go ahead and cancel my Christmas. Just go ahead and say, hey, Q, you're retired.
You forced me to retire.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that was a bizarre headline to see just because you don't ever see a headline like that. I think everybody's kind of of the same opinion that if you're still dealing with the effects of a head injury you suffered in August, then maybe football's not the sport for you anymore.
Right.
And Jordan Reed has been a walking injury his entire career, mostly due to concussions. Mm-hmm. And, you do need to protect yourself at some point. I've seen the rumors of them and Greg Olsen, and it makes sense with Ron Rivera in charge. I think that'd be a great addition for Washington. I know he's older, but he's better than what they have.
Couple year Band-Aid.
Yeah, that's all they need is just a couple years out of him. I think he'd be a nice veteran addition for whoever the quarterback is going to be. But Jordan Reed, 9 games his rookie year he played in, 11, 14, 12, 6, 13. I'm actually surprised he hasn't missed more than that.
Right.
But has never played in a full 16 games and has missed at least 2 every single year of his career. And in some cases, 7, 8 games. So, Yeah, it's been a rough ride for him, and I just don't know what the holdup is. I mean, other than just not being able to let go of the fact you can't play football anymore. But outside of that, he has no business near a field.
I know this probably is not going to sound fair, but at some point, somebody in maybe the front office or the league office says, enough's enough.
Yeah.
Hey, you know how they take the helmet from him on the field and don't allow him back in the game? At some point, I feel like somebody needs to say, hey, man, we're in the NFL front office. You can't do this no more.
Yeah, cut him and say, like, hey, dude, like, we're not even going to give you a choice.
You're not cleared to play this game anymore because you are in you're hurting yourself. You're dangering and hurting yourself.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for him, and I do wish that somebody would go ahead and step up and not say, hey, we're just going to release you because we don't feel like you should play football anymore, and then just let him sit out there, and I don't think anybody's going to come calling, knowing what
they
know now.
And they shouldn't.
So, you know, maybe force him into it. I mean, look, he could still not retire and go through workouts and do all that, and maybe that's what he wants to do. He just can't let it go. I don't know, but he doesn't need to be playing football anymore.
No, he doesn't. If they do release him, it'll be a savings of $8.5 million in cap space. Not that is the ultimate factor here.
Well, that's another reason to do it.
But it's another reason to do it, absolutely. And again, someone needs to save him from himself. And my final little note, Nathan Hewitt hit us up on the Bush's Chicken text line. Just gained more respect for Craig when he called Barry the goat of running backs.
Well, there I lost it with some other people, so glad to get some of it
there
from you.
There you go.
No, do appreciate that. I know that's a very debatable point. Some old timers might want to throw out, Sweetness or Jim Brown, of course. I know where we are. Emmett's the guy, but I will go with Barry. Always.
Emmett has some really good tequila. I finally cracked it up.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did you after a long day of softball?
Man, after a long weekend, I don't even have to put anything in it. It's just tequila straight with some ice, and it's good.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, good to know you cracked that open, and good to know we've got another round of cover three in the books as well. It is 116. We got the number one basketball team in the country, and a lot more that went on this weekend for Baylor Athletics. If you want to chime in on it, 254-662-1660. We'll run it all down next. It's ESPN Central Texas.
Nobody has a better selection of light and heavy-duty Ram pickup trucks than Cameron Autoplex, where they say it's always cheaper in Cameron.
This is a Fox 44 weather update. I'm meteorologist Emily Kay. It's going to be a warm start to the day with temperatures starting out in the upper 50s and lower 60s with mostly cloudy skies across central Texas. Skies will stay mostly cloudy into the afternoon with a 20% chance of a stray shower or two. Highs will reach the upper 70s and lower 80s Monday afternoon. Tonight, temperatures will drop down to around 54 degrees with mostly cloudy skies and scattered showers possible. The rain continues on Tuesday with highs around 64 degrees and mostly cloudy skies all day with a 40% chance of showers and storms. Join me every weeknight during Fox 44 News at 5:39 for your forecast first. Plus, check out fox44news.com for any changes in the weather.
A judge swears an oath to honor God and uphold our Constitution. And Republican Thomas West is prepared to take that oath. A constitutional conservative, Thomas West is board certified in criminal law and has over 120 jury trials under his belt. No other candidate even comes close. He's a deacon at First Woodway Baptist and conservative to the core. To learn more, visit thomaswestforjudge.com. This ad was paid for by the Thomas West Campaign in compliance with the Judicial Campaign Fairness Act.
Jack Roofing, that's the name you need to remember. That's Jack with no K, JACroofs.com. Go ahead and put that in your notes on your phone. Just go ahead and keep that handy just in case you need it, because they are the best in the business when it comes to roofing and explaining to each and every customer what they need when it comes to taking care of their home. Julio, that's my guy. He's the owner of Jack Roofing. He'll personally walk you through the step-by-step process on getting a new roof, or maybe telling you at the time, you know what, you don't need a new roof, you just need a little repair, or you're good. Down the line, you're going to need something, but this is the kind of the plan that we're going to put in place for you. Again, that's what it's all about, is understanding what's going on with your roof and protecting your home the best way you know how. And Julio, again, not the biggest in the business, but definitely the best, is going to make that happen for you. JACroofs.com. That's the website that you need to know. If you have a claim, if you got to turn something into your insurance agency, there's actually a time limit on that, and it's one calendar year, so you got to make sure you get that in before that's over. And Julio speaks the language of the insurance agency. He knows what they're listening for and what they're looking for, so it'll give you the most bang for your buck. Again, just go ahead and trust my guy Julio at jackroofs.com, and that's Jack with no K, JACroofs.com.
What are you supposed to do when you pull up behind a truck that doesn't even have a hitch? I mean, it's like looking at plumber's crack. Do you cover your kids' eyes, look away, and switch radio stations? Hi, Jay here from Pickup Outfitters, asking for your help to end this embarrassing form of truck nudity. If you have a truck, at some point, you need to pull something. It could be a trailer to haul stuff off to the dump, maybe a jet ski, a boat, an RV, a horse trailer, even just a bike rack. The point is, put a hitch on your truck's backside. And at Pickup Outfitters, we actually install more hitches than anything else. Whether it's a receiver hitch, a gooseneck, or a fifth wheel, we'll cover your aspirations to not drive a nude truck. And all hitches are covered by the Pickup Outfitters Lifetime Installation Guarantee. So cover your rear end with a new hitch from Pickup Outfitters on Lake Erie Drive in Waco, where we're fighting to end truck nudity in Central Texas. Check them out on our website at createacommotion.com/hitches.
Your CBD store, the only designated CBD store in Central Texas, located in Hewitt. We've created a warm, inviting space where you can feel comfortable asking the questions you've wanted to ask about CBD. Every product has independent lab testing available. Our staff is here to help you find an award-winning product that's right for you. Come see for yourself and get back to being you. Visit us at your CBD store on Hewitt Drive, next to Cafe Cappuccino.
UBO Business Services offers the best office copiers available. Our brand agnostic approach allows our business analysts to select the right multifunction copier for your office that meets both your budget and functionality requirements. www.ubo.com.
All right, welcome back into UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. Big weekend for Baylor Athletics. We started off the show talking about them, but the number one team in the country. They're hosting College Game Day this Saturday. And when they do, they'll be hosting the number three team in the country, the team they have one game on in the Big 12 conference rankings, over the halfway point now. But Baylor basketball, their first meeting this season with West Virginia. They get the job done, and they do so in convincing fashion. Do not let the final score tell you the tale of this game. It was much closer. Not nearly as close as it looked by the final score, an 11-point win. It was more like a 25-point win for the most part, just the way that that game felt. Never really in danger. And despite the fact that going in, you had Maceo Teague out of the lineup due to a lingering injury. It's kind of like, oh, no, there's somebody all of a sudden out of the lineup that's pretty important. It did not matter. We talked about the Mayer dunk and what a tone setter that was just a few minutes into the ball game. He obviously played more minutes with Teague out, as some others did as well. But, fellas, they had no problem with the Mountaineers. And Bob Huggins was just kind of at wit's end on Saturday. Very, very impressive. And now we know how they stack up against West Virginia. Wondered about that. Well, they stack up really well against West Virginia.
That was my big question. It really was. I doubted that they were going to win that game going into it. I thought that this was the one that's going to trip them up. Again, I felt like that press defense that West Virginia plays was going to give them trouble. But again, Baylor found ways to break the press early. And, you know, West Virginia wasn't really effective with it. And that was the one thing that I had been looking at in all these games that they had won and they had been close down the stretch. I kept seeing, okay, well, when these teams, even when Texas did it, when they go to the press, Baylor starts to turn the ball over and starts to mess up. So that's going to hurt them in the long run. And, man, they didn't have any problem with West Virginia. You know, they went on that big long run in the second half. It's just like lights out.
Yeah, that was an incredible little run they went on. And really, you know, West Virginia was able to knock that lead down late, but it was just all Baylor. I mean, it was a dominant effort. Defensively, forced 21 turnovers by the Mountaineers.
And that's, I thought it was going to be a reverse.
Yeah.
I thought the Mountaineers were going to turn Baylor over 21 times.
Yeah, but 21 turnovers. Huggins was, I mean, he really was losing his mind at one point, and they just could not hang on to the basketball. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, you had the scratch, I guess, whatever, of Maceo Teague. But what a crowd it was, too. First sellout officially of the year. And really hope that we see more of those. And we'll see that on Saturday.
Yeah.
They're going to make it two Saturdays in a row of a sellout. But I did see some comments just nationally like, oh, I'm really surprised the number one team in the country is just now having their first sellout. And I was like, well, you don't really know the basketball crowd here.
I was kind of surprised to see the number one team in the country on ESPN+.
That was something that they didn't really have in their control. But, yeah, that's also a Big 12 tool to try and get more subscribers. I don't agree with it. I mean, I understand it in certain situations, but the number one team in the country facing one of your other better teams, I just feel like you missed an opportunity to have that on national television.
You should have shown off the bright, shiny car that you have in the parking lot.
Yeah, I mean...
What else do you have it for?
And quite frankly, with them being the number one team in the country, it's the smallest fan base in the Big 12. I don't think that's really bringing you a ton more subscribers. You know, I can understand if it was like number one Texas or something, mm-hmm. and you feel like, I don't know. I just don't think that you got too much out of that other than just complaints by people who did not have the ability to watch it.
Right. And on top of that, so many people have someone else's passcode and just use that.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
how we were watching too. At the press box at Gettyman Stadium. You know, Amber was sitting next to me and she said, oh, I got my roommate's passcode so we can watch it here. So we so that's how we watch the game, you know, and that's what a lot of people do. And so, I mean, they just missed an opportunity to show off some really good basketball that Baylor's been playing. The number one team in the country's been playing and been now number one for the last 5 weeks. They should show that off when given the opportunity.
Absolutely. So 21 turnovers for West Virginia. In the second half, Baylor had them scoreless for about 10 minutes without a bucket for the Mountaineers, which was pretty incredible to watch. It's now 22 straight wins, and it's now really starting to become historical when you talk about Big 12 records. They have now tied the Big 12 record set in 1997 by the Kansas Jayhawks. 1997.
Wow.
Folks, I was still very much in school. In fact, I wasn't even in high school yet. That was a long time ago. Very, very long time ago. 1997. But mm-hmm. That was when that was set. That Kansas team had guys like Rafe LaFrance and Paul Pierce on it. And that is wow. The mark that they have now tied with 22 straight wins. And so with a win tomorrow against Oklahoma, potentially, that would set the Big 12 all-time record for a winning streak. Great crowd, as I mentioned, very loud, very into it, especially the Meyer Duncan. I think it just kind of, or Meyer Duncan just really, you know, set the tone, like I said, a couple times now. And just a great job by the crowd, and hopefully it's as rambunctious and raucous, and I would expect it to be this Saturday with KU rolling into town.
I'll tell you what, that whole area was rocking. I mean, it really, really was. The whole parking lot, Farrell Center, the baseball field, the softball field, I mean, everything was packed. I mean, the parking lot, you could only drive in at certain points, and you could only drive out at certain points. I mean, you want to talk about Baylor fans showing up and representing this whole weekend over there at the Farrell Center and everything else around that. They absolutely did.
Yep. So with Teague's absence, Mayer was able to thrive a bit more. But, hey, Jared Butler, too. You know, he's had his shooting struggles at times this year. Some rocky performances here and there. Still a great player, don't get me wrong. But had 21 points, 16 mm-hmm. of those in the first half. So another tone setter there, if you will. A guy who's maybe not scoring a ton, scoring a bunch there in the first half. Was 8 of 11 on his first 11 shots and had pretty much their entire three-point game other than one. So a really nice game from Jared Butler as well. And, you know, Mark Vile got into foul trouble. And when you're as frisky and aggressive as he is, that's going to happen on some days. But even with him in foul trouble and not always available, still a really good effort from him, just doing the dirty work. I mean, that's what he does, doing the dirty work, getting steals, getting assists, and getting boards as well. He's only able to play in about 20 minutes because of those fouls. But even then, those 20 minutes, you know, Huggins is talking about him after the game. So
can't help but to.
Yeah, he's an incredible, incredible player. So, yeah, just a banner day, sellout, game day's coming to town, number one for a fifth straight week. It's good right now for Scott Drew and company, to be sure. And little did we know, they were kind of just setting the tone for the rest of the weekend. It was going to be a really good couple of days, and we'll carry it over a little bit. But let's touch on women's basketball first, as the Lady Bears just win again. 42 straight Big 12 road victories is a mark that they've been throwing out there. But you can go with Big 12 victories. You can go mm-hmm. with just, I mean, all sorts of different statistics for them. But they did get their 42nd straight Big 12 road victory, and they are still sitting there at number two in the country, obviously, as South Carolina is a bit pesky. But Kim Mulkey is looking at some very rare air as a result of their latest victory, as going into tomorrow night against Texas Tech, now with a 27, I didn't even mention the score, 27-point win over Oklahoma State, mind you, on Saturday. It's a blowout mm-hmm. fest, 69-42. Kim Mulkey could be the fastest coach to 600 wins with a win tomorrow night against Oklahoma. So you got two Tuesday games that maybe you're not paying so much attention to.
Until now.
Until now, because of what the men have at stake. Number one, momentum going into Saturday versus Kansas, and the big home game that should be. And then the women, Kim Mulkey, some very rare air, 600 victories. And record time at that. So that's what she can do by getting that win tomorrow night.
And how good is this Lady Bears team? I mean, I know we're talking a lot about the men's basketball team because, I mean, they're sitting there at number one, and this is, you know, this is not territory that we're used to seeing each and every year, and we're kind of spoiled by the Lady Bears. But, man, this Lady Bears team is quietly at number two in the country.
Mm-hmm.
A really good team.
I mean, there's debate on whether they're better than last year.
Right.
I'm
exactly.
curious what you all would think about that.
Hey, I'll tell you, man. I mentioned a few weeks ago that Queen Egbo needed to step up and start, kind of learning her role and kind of going into shape and rounding into shape. She really has. She mm-hmm. really, really has. I think when Alyssa Smith went out and she was called upon to play a little bit more, she showed what she could do. Now, all of a sudden, Alyssa's back. Queen's playing. Obviously, Lauren Cox is going to be smooth and steady as always. And, you know, you got Dee Dee, who's just doing some insane things. I mean, again, Dee Dee, with the way she plays, blows my mind by her size. You know what I mean? Her size is not overwhelming, but she does things like she's big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, steals, defense, tenacity. If she wants to score, she can go on a run and start scoring. She can put in buckets anytime she wants to.
Certainly.
She's just a hell of a player. And Juicy's a silent assassin out there at the three-point line. And you got Taya, even when she wasn't playing well and she had a few games that were bad, she's still a hell of a guard. I mean, it's a hell of a team you got here.
Yeah, Taya Cooper, you wonder how she was going to fit in just because they've been hit. Like last year with the transfers and then missed like a couple years ago with transfers. So you just don't know what category she's going to fall into and might as well have been here all 4 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, because she fits in just like any other Lady Bear. She actually led them in scoring on Saturday with 15 points. Also had 12 from Juicy and 10 as well from Queen Egbo, who also added in a handful of rebounds. We're just talking about her. So 10 and 5, I believe, was her final stat line.
I'll take that every day.
Yeah, you'll absolutely take that. And just a lot of even distribution. Nobody really having some banner type of a game. Just everybody really contributing and doing their part, whether it be offensively or defensively. A lot of players racking up the boards and turnovers and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, incredibly impressive. You know, it kind of goes without saying with them sometimes, but you do have to say. You have to mm-hmm. remind yourself that you don't just take their run for granted as well. And they are on quite a run themselves. So tomorrow night, Kim Mulkey can be the fastest in history to 600 victories in college in hoops. So the fastest D1 coach, man or woman, to reach 600 could be Kim Mulkey of Baylor if they can get a win tomorrow night against Oklahoma. So there was the basketball side of things. Pretty good weekend for Scott Drew and Kim Mulkey. Now how about on the diamond and elsewhere? That's next is ESPN Central Texas.
The Bears play here. ESPN Central Texas.
The Bears back in action Tuesday at Baylor Ballpark hosting Arkansas Pine Bluff. 6:15 for the warm-up show, 6:30 first pitch on Fox Sports Central Texas.
Baylor Baseball, all season long with Derek Smith and Steve Jonigan. Here on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way, so it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
At Bush's Chicken, you can always count on getting the best chicken, the best tenders, and the best tea at the best value. Bush's Chicken, simply the best.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Winter is here, and many of you realize it. It's time to replace those old, drafty windows. Call Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas and schedule an in-home consultation where you can discuss your specific window needs with an expert team member. Universal's exclusive Unishield windows are spaced using aerospace technology called Super Spacer and have a life expectancy 5 times that of other systems. And they offer 0% financing for 60 months. That's 0% financing for 60 months. Contact Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas for a free in-home estimate. UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. That's UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. 254-301-7760. And be sure to check out their great Google reviews.
windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley. We're brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. It's a December employee pricing for everyone event with our best year-end deals. Come see the difference that so many of our friends have raved about. Transparent pricing, the highest trade allowances, and a huge inventory of new Chevrolets for you to choose from. Or check us out online at turnerchevy.com. That's Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. Sick 'em, Bears!
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. The latest AP men's basketball rankings have been released, and ahead of Saturday's showdown in the Farrell Center, Baylor remains ranked number one for the fifth week in a row, with Kansas now up to number three. First off, though, the teams have games this week. Tonight, the Jayhawks host Iowa State, and Tuesday, the Bears travel to Norman to take on Oklahoma. Meanwhile, on the women's side of the AP poll, the Lady Bears held at number two, and UConn fell out of the top five for the first time in 253 weeks. They are currently ranked number six. And the Cowboys are bringing back former special teams coach Keith O'Quinn as director of advanced scouting. O'Quinn was a special teams coach for two seasons before being replaced by John Fossil on Mike McCarthy's new staff.
SportsCenter every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
Recapping a bit of the weekend that was in Baylor Athletics, I've made mention now multiple times, and we have talked multiple times now about the number one team in the country, the Baylor men, for the fifth consecutive week. I have not mentioned, however, kind of what the rest of the rankings look like behind them outside of the fact that KU is number three, and that's who will be in town on Saturday at the Farrell Center. Baylor took game one between these two teams, took a game in Lawrence. I mean, that was one of those where you go, all right, this team's for real, for real. And now they get an opportunity for the sweep. And quite frankly, I mean, this is one and another play, West Virginia again. And, you know, you can't look past in Oklahoma, but if they beat Kansas a second time, then, boy.
You know what's funny is when they beat Kansas in Lawrence, I thought, okay, that's a good win. But I really thought that, okay, Kansas is just, you know, being Kansas, and Kansas is in it up, you know, and just kind of having their moments where they're not really 100% locked in, ready to play. But, you know, they'll get going. I didn't know at that point when they beat Kansas that it was going to turn into what it is now. I thought that was a good win. That's a good quality win for Scott Drew and the Baylor Bears. But, you know, at some point they're going to, you know, take an L or two here and there because the shooting was bad. The shooting wasn't great. And they're winning games by way of defense, which I love. I'm all for it. But I didn't think that it was going to be able to continue this streak as long as it has.
No, pretty incredible. So the number two team in the country, Gonzaga, they remain that way. Kansas 3, San Diego State, what a story they have been.
Aztecs, baby.
26-0, and they are the number four team in the country. Dayton, the number five team in the country.
Okay.
What is going on in the college basketball rankings? San Diego State and Dayton. And three of the top five are non-Power 5 schools, and the two that are Big 12 schools.
San Diego State's got Fisher as their head coach, right? He's from Michigan.
Yeah, right? I believe so.
That's
right.
San Diego State, they've always been able to play basketball, but didn't know they were going to be on this level. But, yeah, they could play some ball.
They haven't lost a game, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, just 26-0.
They can go.
Duke is number six, Maryland seven, Florida State, number eight team in the country, Penn State.
That's a shock right there.
What are they doing playing basketball?
That's a shock right there. But, hey, big ups to the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, the number nine team in the country, and Kentucky at 10. So this is one of the wonkiest, like, top tens I think we've probably ever seen in college basketball. I mean, you got your familiars like Duke and Maryland, but Baylor and San Diego State and Florida State and Penn State, I mean, Baylor, more so than those other schools, is used to being in that kind of rare air, but not commonplace necessarily. So, yeah, it's a different world. Certainly when you got, you know, the Kentuckys and the Louisvilles, they're all like looking up at teams like FSU and PSU. It's pretty crazy. But I did get this message. I mentioned Kim Mulkey and the fastest D1 coach to 600 wins can be accomplished tomorrow night, but I misspoke. They play Oklahoma on Saturday. They play Texas Tech tomorrow night. It's the men that play Oklahoma, so I just got a little backwards there, but wanted to clear that up for anybody who might have been driving along going, oh, wait a second. Yeah, misspoken. So Texas Tech and then Oklahoma for the Lady Bears. But elsewhere this weekend, Baylor softball. Go ahead and give it to us, Mr. Softball, as they go Well, perfecto. Mm-hmm. In weekend number one, they're the Getterman Classic champions. You were out there for every single game, and that's why you were out on Friday. But what can you tell us about how they contributed to what was a overall very exciting weekend for Baylor Athletics?
Well, they helped Coach Moore pick up his 900th career victory. That's a big milestone. You want to talk about milestones at Baylor. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's done this, obviously, at LSU and at Baylor. But still, I mean, 900 career wins is nothing to shake a stick at. You know, yeah. I mean, that's major. And coming off of what they did last year, man, last year was really bad. And that was all because of injuries. Gia was out, and Gia is back, and she looks like she's 100%. There's multiple times throughout the weekend where the marketing people over there at Baylor ran out of strikeout balls that they throw whenever there's a strikeout. It's always, that's another Baylor softball strikeout. I think Curtis or Jack from the TV station said, I'm going to have that stuck in my head. Q's going to be saying that in my dreams all night tonight. That's another Baylor softball strikeout. She had like 13 one game, 14 another game. Just stupid numbers. You know, there was one time I think she went on a run about 9 or 10 batters in a row. All strikeouts, just dumb numbers. But yeah, they look like they're really good. They have some really good hitters, and even some of the young ones, man. Even some of the ones that were freshmen last year that are sophomores now are really good. Josie Bauer, she's a really good hitter, man. She had herself a hell of a weekend, and there's others, man. They're a really good team, man. So when they're on and they're not injured, they're out there doing their thing. So they went 5-0 over the weekend. I will say a little side note. I got so delirious in game number Saturday night. It was the final game. I went to say designated hitter, and I definitely said designated Hitler.
Hitler? No.
Now betting, designated Hitler. Hitler.
Tell me some science.
Yeah.
I was like, man, and then poor, I'm telling you.
That really sucked to be the designated Hitler.
Man,
like,
I'm telling you, I felt so bad. I couldn't believe it. And then on top of that, I think I let two batters go by without ever saying a word. I didn't even notice them go to bat. I was so delirious.
Was the next batter designated Goebbels and then designated? Just give the whole crew.
I'm telling you, man, and I was laughing, and all of a sudden I look over, and there's the media section over here, and there's glass in between us, and I don't know if they heard everything I was saying or they could just tell I was delirious because they were all rolling. Everyone's laughing at me. So, I mean, it was a good time. But this weekend, instead of having 10 games, we have 12 games. So if I was delirious after 8, guess what I'm going to be after 10?
Yeah, I can imagine. That's going to be rough. So you'll be out again this Friday, and then after that.
And then that's a wrap.
Yeah, that's quite the schedule. So another big weekend coming up for Baylor softball. They went 3-2 in the Getterman last year. So to go 5-0, certainly an improvement. And now 8-2 overall on the season. And they've won 6 games in a row. So now up next for them, before they get into the Baylor Invitational, will be UT Arlington on Wednesday out at Getterman Stadium. Mm-hmm. And then back here for Minnesota and Illinois and Tulsa, Texas State. All those teams are a part of the Baylor Invitational. And, yeah, we'll have those games for you on 101.3 FM.
Yeah, and a funny story, a little side story about it. Dan Ingham, who's doing the play-by-play, he actually locked himself out of the studio on accident.
Oh, God.
Right in the middle of the game, he went to either go grab a water or something like that. And didn't
grab a beer at the concession stand.
Right. Didn't realize that the door was locked behind him, and so the door closed. And so he's like, oh, no big deal. He went back to get in, and he was like, uh-oh.
The worst feeling ever.
Can't get back in. And Paul was on the other end. He was running the boards for that game, and he was on the other end thinking, Dan, hello, Dan, are you there? And so Paul said he didn't know what to do, but I saw Dan frantically go and grab somebody that had a key, and they got him in real quick. And no joke, right before the first pitch, he slid right back into his seat, put his headset on, was ready to go.
Well,
the professional Dan Ingham,
true pro. But that's a scary feeling when you close the door behind you and you realize, oh no.
Yep.
I did that up here one time. It was late at night, so there's not always a lot of people up here late at night, and walked out and thought I had forgotten my key, and I was the only person here at the time, and that was a panic moment. Mm-hmm. If you pulled that, well, Stephen, I would imagine you'd have had to come close to pulling a moment like that. As many nights as you've been up here.
Yeah, one time we're in the Rangers game, I just stepped outside because I had to get some fresh air for a minute, and I dropped I had my keys in my hand and I dropped them on the ground.
Yeah.
And I didn't, it was that moment where I couldn't find it in the grass.
Oh, man.
And I finally did, but it was a good, I had some time before I had to do anything, but I was starting to go through, it was enough time that I was starting to go through my head, I'm going to have to call like Paul or somebody and explain to them what happened. And we're going to
locksmith.
I'm going to miss a break. And what if they call for, like, what if there's some dead air? Like it was,
That's the biggest fear right there.
That's the biggest fear.
Dead air, dog. I'm telling you, when I first started in radio, we had a studio and we didn't have automation. So we had, everything was on CDs and carts and whatever. And our studio was in one spot and our bathroom was in another. And so you put on a 5-minute song, usually it was a slow jam, and then you run to the bathroom. And there was a big old sign on the door, take your key with you. And I never locked myself out, but dog, so many people did. And the minute that door closed, all of a sudden you hear the click. And you're like, oh, damn, it's locked. And then all of a sudden that 5 minute runs out and you hear.
Yeah, just
the worst sound in radio ever, ever.
It is. It is. But, Baylor softball was all over our airways this past weekend, and no dead air, despite Dan Ingham having a close call.
Shout out
to Dan.
Being
able to get back into the booth. So they had a nice 5-0 weekend, and, you know, covered men's basketball, women's basketball, softball. Well, baseball had a very interesting weekend as well, so let's go ahead and put a capper on our Baylor recap from the weekend that was, very busy weekend that was, but successful at that, and we'll do that next as we bring the 1 o'clock hour to a close. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Lady Bear Basketball on 92.9 FM.
The Lady Bears back in action Tuesday on the road in Lubbock against Texas Tech. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. 7 p.m. tip-off Tuesday on 92.9 FM.
Lady Bear Basketball all season long with Bruce Geetson and Maggie Davis-Stinnett on 92.9 FM.
How many QBs have thrown for?
Internet security alert. Your computer might be infected by harmful viruses. Please do not shut down or reset your computer.
Aw, not another virus. Those kids and their damn Google searches.
Ah, kids playing on your computer again, Googling who knows what. How many times have you been hit with that awful virus alert? Well, before you flip out and panic and ground them for life, give my guys Dow, who is my brother from another mother, and Josh and the pros at Prompt Technology a call.
Prompt Technology. Prompt Technology. Prompt Technology.
They are experts when it comes to ridding your computer of any and all viruses at a very reasonable price. Not to mention, the experts at Prompt Technology have over 50 years combined experience in computer and networking technology. Check out Prompt Technology on 32nd and Franklin at the stoplight and also online at prompt-tech.com.
Touchdown!
At the drop of a tailgate, here's your touchdown meal. Kick off your tailgate party with Slovacek West tailgate boxes. Each box feeds 10 people with delicious savings of your choice. Smoked barbecue brisket, pulled pork, Slovacek sausage, and more. Every box contains everything you need to make that extra point, including sides, utensils, sauce, tea, cups, and ice. Customize and order your tailgate box by 2 p.m. and it will be ready to pick up the next day. Don't punt when you can score big with Slovacek West. Slovacek, you'll love our sausage.
Have you been tagged yet again in an engagement ring photo? Are hints being dropped all around you? Rest assured, D'Amore Fine Jewelers has been rescuing men seeking the perfect ring for over 25 years. Come in with a picture of her dream ring and we'll make it a reality. With our 5-year financing, custom design team, and selection of diamonds, we'll make the whole process fun and enjoyable. D'Amore Fine Jewelers on West Waco Drive.
At Marksman, we know firearms. Whether you're looking for long-range shooting, tactical, or specialized gear, the only place to go is Marksman Firearms in Killeen, located at 2103 South W.S. Young Drive. Buy, sell, or trade. When it comes to guns, ammo, and accessories, nobody comes close. So head on over to Marksman Firearms in Killeen. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. For more information, visit MarksmanFirearms.com.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. The latest AP men's basketball rankings have been released, and ahead of Saturday's showdown in the Farrell Center, Baylor remains ranked number one for the fifth week in a row, with Kansas now up to number three. First off, though, the teams have games this week. Tonight, the Jayhawks host Iowa State, and Tuesday, the Bears travel to Norman to take on Oklahoma. Meanwhile, on the women's side of the AP poll, the Lady Bears held at number two, and UConn fell out of the top five for the first time in 253 weeks. They are currently ranked number 6. And the Cowboys are bringing back former special teams coach Keith O'Quinn as director of advanced scouting. O'Quinn was a special teams coach for 2 seasons before being replaced by John Fossil on Mike McCarthy's new staff.
SportsCenter every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
And we are winding down this 1 o'clock hour. Took nearly a whole hour outside of about, 20 minutes or so of NFL news and notes to wrap up this Baylor weekend that was with basketball on both the men's and women's side, softball with the Getterman Classic, and now to baseball. And I was very curious by the end of Friday night, folks, whether or not this is going to be a fun thing to talk about or not.
Man.
I felt like, you know, we still had the basketball games to be played, so I wasn't sure how that was going to shake out, really. New softball had won, but really didn't know by Friday night how this weekend was going to go for Baylor. And certainly if you were going off of baseball, it wasn't going to be a very good weekend. They got absolutely just decimated on Friday night by Nebraska. Gave up 11 runs in the first inning. Jimmy Winston getting the start, and he gets run right out of the building. And that box score, if you take a look at it, for the first inning, the scoring summary aspect, you got the little logos next to each individual thing that happens, and it's just like 50 red ends for the first inning alone. It was pretty incredible, but dug themselves an 11-0 hole after the first inning and just tried to scratch and claw. I mean, they scored in the second, the third, the fifth, the sixth, the eighth, including 4 in the eighth, but still fall by 10, 19 to 9. Huskers not only had the 11-run first inning, but 4 more in the seventh, 3 in the eighth, and so just not a good performance overall. And so, yeah, 19-9, how the Baylor baseball season started off. But fortunately for them, it got better after that.
It really did. I was really, really concerned after I saw what they did in that first inning after Garrett sent us that text and said, hey, this is what happened the first inning. I'm over there at softball. You know,
yeah,
like, this
no
is
doubt.
This is all bad. And, you know, then you start hearing rumblings of how it shook out and everything. And I'm thinking, man, I felt pretty good about this Baylor baseball team going into the season. But, again, the beauty of baseball is that that's one night.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and really, I mean, they salvaged things on Saturday because that was going mm-hmm. bad for a while, too. I mean,
true.
Paul Dickens gives up a grand slam. All of a sudden, Nebraska's tied it. They take a 7-6 lead, but they rally and walk it off in the 10th to win that one and end up winning on Sunday to win the series. But, yeah, obviously, they're going to have to get better outings from Jimmy Winston and Paul Dickens. They're 1-2 starters if they're going to be good all year long, and they know that. Jimmy Winston didn't record an out, so he can't really do any worse than he did mm-hmm. on Friday night. I'm sure he'll bounce back. Both him and Paul have a track record last year of doing a good job and being consistent. But positively, I mean, they scored in every single game. Mm-hmm. Like, they were able to mash out a lot of hits. You know, scored 7-plus runs all 3 days, which is huge. And for a lineup that was missing a lot with guys like Langoliers and Wenzel gone now to Major League Baseball and going to try it their hand at the minor leagues. So that's good to know. And then Hayden Kettler looked really good, and he was injured a lot last year. And he pitched admirably on Sunday. And aside from Friday, the bullpen did a really nice job. So good on them for salvaging that series. And they can kind of reset and bounce back now. But, yeah, certainly Friday night was not a good open to the season.
I'll tell you what, man. I like what Coach Rodriguez had to say on Sunday after they won the series, talking about, you know, I never really take into consideration game one, you know, opening games of the season, because guys can't feel their arms. Guys are barely breathing, don't have saliva in their mouth. I mean, he went in this great description. I thought it was just awesome about how opening day just gives everyone that different feeling. And it takes some guys longer to snap out of it, and you kind of saw that, you know, game one, inning one, you know, to give up as many runs they did in the first inning. It's like, okay, that's a product of that. How do you bounce back the next couple of days? And like Steven said, in a bad position on Saturday, but found a way to get out of that hole, and then, boom, they take the season opening series.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were in good position on Saturday. They just made it a bad position, and
yeah.
Then found a way to, because they were up 6-1 and then had just an awful inning there in the fifth inning where they gave up 5 runs, including that grand slam, and then Nebraska with a solo homer to actually take the lead, and it looked like they were well on their way to perhaps 0-2, but hey, small ball works. That's how they got it done in the ninth inning. Got the leadoff walk, which is always just so important to get that leadoff guy on base. Bring in a pinch hitter in Bertelsmann. He gets the infield single. So you got 2 on, nobody out now at that point. Another sack bunt following that to get guys in scoring position. And then Ricky Martinez tied it up with the infield grounder. So a couple infield hits, sacrifice bunts, leadoff walk.
Scrappy.
That's how they were able to tie it up and get it to extras. And then Luke Boyd did a great job there in the ninth inning and then in the 10th inning as well. So he was able to get it done on the mound for them, and they were able to scratch enough together on offense. And then yesterday, just more of a convincing win for them to make it a series victory, 7-2. So, yeah, just a kind of a series that was all over the place in some ways. Friday night, get blown out. Saturday, lose a lead, regain a lead, win in extras, walk it off. And then on and Chase Westner, by the way, the walk-off hit on Saturday night. And then Sunday, just go out, handle your business, and have things you know, pretty fully in control over those last couple of innings. And Hayden Kettler getting the win for you on Sunday. So, yeah, really nice weekend for them, and a really nice way to battle back. So now I think they got that out of their system. We can see, you know, sort of what's what with them now moving forward. But nice series opening win. They did not do that last year against Nebraska.
No.
And they certainly didn't look like they were on their way to that with game number one. But games two and three, much better results for Steve Rodriguez.
Again, I mean, just to be able to settle yourself and realize that, hey, that was Friday night. That was one game. And we still have an opportunity to go ahead and take this opening series. And to find a way to get that done was very, very impressive. A lot of teams could have just stuck on what happened. Oh, man, what happened on Friday night? Woe is us. You know, kind of licking their wounds. Instead, they realized that baseball is a long season. And anything could happen the following day. That's the beautiful thing about baseball. And so they were able to bounce back, and that win on Sunday was really, really impressive.
Yeah, it was. It was important, too. And so now you're looking ahead a little bit. We know Baylor men's basketball, one game against Oklahoma, and then the game day showdown with number three Kansas. The Lady Bears tomorrow night can get Kim Mulkey to being the fastest head coach in Division I basketball history to 600 wins if they can get a victory against Texas Tech. And if not, then they could get it on Saturday against Oklahoma, but fully expect her to get that mark by tomorrow. And then we talked about softball, what they've got coming up with the Baylor Invitational. And now for baseball, after the 2-1 start, it'll be Pine Bluff on Tuesday out at Baylor Ballpark, and they'll be at home again this weekend. So another busy weekend in Waco as they'll be playing host to Oral Roberts. So there you go. There's a full rundown. Spring sports, folks. There's a lot going on, but I wouldn't have it any other way. It's nice to have all these sports active and underway and having some success. It's 1:56. We got another hour to go. If you want to be a part of the show, and if you want these tickets to Baylor Baseball versus Arkansas Pine Bluff, the game we're just referencing, we got a couple pairs. If you're interested, 254-662-1660. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Lady Bear Softball on 101.3 FM.
Baylor softball back on the air Wednesday from Getterman Stadium hosting UT Arlington. 6:15 for the warm-up show, 6:30 first pitch Wednesday for Lady Bear softball.
Baylor Big 12 softball on 101.3 FM.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Winter is here, and many of you realizing it's time to replace those old drafty windows. Call Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas and schedule an in-home consultation where you can discuss your specific window needs with an expert team member. Universal's exclusive Unishield windows are spaced using aerospace technology called Super Spacer and have a life expectancy 5 times that of other systems. And they offer 0% financing for 60 months. That's 0% financing for 60 months. Contact Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas for a free in-home estimate. UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. That's UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. 254-301-7760. And be sure to check out their great Google reviews.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
Learn strategies for building wealth and financial success in retirement. Plan well, retire well, live well. Tune in Saturdays at 8 a.m. for the Lovett Financial Show or visit Lovett Financial for a complimentary financial review.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley's show brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Business online at turnerchevy.com for the best deal on your new Chevrolet. Stop by and see all the new 2020 Silverado 1500s today.
Boozer's is the wedding ring store and more. If you're ready to get engaged or already married and want to upgrade your wife's ring for a special anniversary, Boozer's is the place to go. With the largest selection of premier quality diamond engagement rings and wedding rings in Central Texas. They have 7 cases with over 300 styles of rings from top designers like Natalie Kay. Choose from yellow, white, or rose gold, plus beautiful top quality loose diamonds. With an in-house jewelry, they can also custom make anything you want. Bring in a picture or drawing and let Boozer's create your one-of-a-kind pendant or ring. They can even use some of your old gold and diamond jewelry to create something new. At Boozer's, you'll find a great selection of quality timepieces, and Boozer's is the place for expert watch maintenance and repairs, too. They specialize in expert Rolex watch repair using genuine Rolex parts. For fine jewelry, watches, custom work, and more, go to Boozer's on Valley Mills and Lake Air Drive in Waco.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening. According to 3-time AL MVP Mike Trout, more discipline should have been handed out to the Astros for their sign-stealing scandal. The Angels outfielder told reporters he didn't agree with the players not being punished, as it was a player-driven matter. Trout also said everyone wants a clean, level playing field and that a lot of guys lost respect for some of the Astros. Very revealing comments from Trout, explains ESPN's Tim Kirchin.
Not only is he the best player in baseball, he is the face of baseball, and everything he says is measured. He's never controversial, but for him to come out and be this strong is very, very telling. And I think he speaks for the majority of Major League players who think the Astros players should have been punished here.
Commissioner Rob Manfred's characterization of the World Series trophy as a piece of metal when talking about possibly stripping the Astros of their 2017 title, not sitting well with Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner. He said Manfred devalued the trophy with those comments, showing how out of touch he is with players.
You love iced tea. It's smooth and refreshing, with just the right flavor. You also love to be a little twisted. That's why Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea has everything you love, because it's made with real brewed tea and a kick. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Be a little twisted. Drink responsibly.
KRZI Waco, K256BW Waco, ESPN Central Texas. Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Boozer's Jewelers Premier Diamonds and the Wedding Ring Store on the corner of Valley Mills at Lake Air in Waco. The 2 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Wings Pizza and Things in Temple.
Let's roll!
Live from the Petty Clinic Low T Studio, this is Unnecessary Roughness. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
Get this 2 o'clock hour started off with some All-Star game up on the screen. Some Valentine's Day in the rear view. How did Valentine's Day go for you fellas?
Valentine's Day, I was at Getterman Stadium, and then me and the wife went to, not Outback.
It's quite memorable. That's what we do now.
Roadhouse. Went to Roadhouse afterwards. I got a big old bone-in ribeye steak, man. It was great. Great.
Was it packed as Roadhouse typically
is?
Yeah,
it was super packed. I think we had to wait like an hour and a half to before we were able to get
really?
In there.
Really?
Yeah. But we just sat at the bar and had a couple drinks, and before we knew, an hour and a half was up.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to be drinking, the wait for a place isn't so bad. But
plus, I think some people got frustrated by waiting so long, so I think that they left, because it didn't feel like we were there for an hour
and
a half.
Why is that place always so packed?
It's really good.
I mean, it is good, but
it is
just
really good.
I don't think I've ever been in there when it's not some type of a wait.
It's always packed, yeah, it always is packed. And of course, on Valentine's Day, without any kind of reservation, which I don't know if they make reservations or not, because whatever, I just don't know. But
yeah.
I just got in the mood for a steak, and I was, man, I need a steak. So I said that the whole time where I was doing PA, I'm thinking, I'm going to get a steak tonight. Like, that was my goal. So I did.
Very nice. Steven, how was Valentine's Day?
It was good. Friday night, we just stayed at the house pretty quiet, and then we went to visit some family this weekend. We were supposed to go out Saturday, but my wife ended up deciding that she'd rather just kind of hang out around family on Saturday. So I didn't really do anything big. You know, got a gift that morning on Friday, so it worked out okay.
A lot of diamonds and rubies and
oh, yeah.
all you that.
Know, all the spending all the M&M broadcaster money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can go a long way with that. That's for sure. Well, yeah, Valentine's Day now in the rear view, so what we got next? We got St. Paddy's Day. Is that what's up next on the docket? Not as far as like having to worry about.
I think for Q, everything just leads up to
Cinco
de Mayo.
Today's President's Day. So shout out President's Day. Today is today.
I didn't realize that until I walked in.
I realized that they always put up flags in our neighborhood when it's any kind of holiday. They always put up the American flag, which is really cool. Kind of gives me a heads up if I didn't know. And then on top of that, the wife didn't have to go to work and the kids didn't have to go to school. So I was thinking, oh, yeah, it must be a holiday.
Yeah, mostly I didn't have to go to school. And I don't remember getting President's Day off. I mean, I guess we probably did.
I think kids now get all kind of stuff off.
They get all the days nowadays. I'm telling you. I don't remember getting this President's Day off either. I remember getting certain days off, but I don't know about President's Day.
I don't either.
Yeah. Well, that is one of the things going on today is President's Day, but a big birthday today as well. Michael Jordan.
Let's go.
Celebrating a birthday today.
The GOAT. That is the dude. No arguments here. That is the guy. And happy birthday. And was he 57 today?
No, he is. This would be born 1963, so he is 50.
I think he said 57.
Yeah, 57. Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I keep remembering it's 2020. Duh.
That's right.
I keep thinking it's like 2019 still. 57 years old for MJ.
Mike is the dude, man.
Arguably the GOAT.
He's absolutely the GOAT.
I will say he is, but I know that there is debate.
I don't care. None of those arguments or debates even matter. It's all about Mike. I'm just saying. Just throwing it out there. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, it's really only one guy, right? It's LeBron. I mean, that's the debate.
That's the only question.
Yeah, I mean, because Kobe didn't get to the point of rings being equal to be able to really have that debate. I felt like when he fell short, because he ended up with, what, five?
Yeah, he ended up with five. And again,
just one short.
I've always said that, like I said, Kobe, I felt like, was much more closer to Mike than LeBron. LeBron's a different dude, man. He's a different animal. Again, I feel like he's more of a Magic Johnson, but, you know, on that level than he was Mike. But again, I mean, it's to each their own.
I know I've asked you this before, Stephen, but how much of Michael Jordan's career did you actually get to watch?
Sorry.
And I'm not trying to make fun or nothing. I don't remember.
Very little. Yeah. I mean, I saw my recollection of him with Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
It's
unfortunate.
So you're like, this dude's a scrub. Why does everybody think he's so great? Why are you so popular?
I mean, like, he was still putting up, I think I was too young to understand, because he was still putting up like 20 points plus and a lot of nights with the Wizards, but obviously, like, he wasn't doing it very efficiently. Like, I have to look at what he was shooting back then, but it wasn't, you know, great numbers. But right. I still was like, oh, yeah, it's cool that he's back out on the floor. I remember that his last All-Star game where he, like, I have a vivid memory of him hitting a bucket in overtime that basically won the East All-Star game that year. And looking back on it, I didn't realize that they kind of gave him a couple different chances to do that. But he posted up somebody. He might have posted up Kobe, actually, and kind of backed him down and hit a fadeaway jumper. But, yeah, I mean, like, I think LeBron's never going to win that argument just because of his finals record. I feel like that's what's going to keep him, from it in the end. But as far as my eyes go, like, I can't really properly rate MJ's career because I didn't see
it. You don't have an argument for MJ.
Yeah.
No, and that's fair. That's absolutely fair. Now, at least you're not doing the Zach Burke thing and saying, I don't have anything for MJ, but I got something for Bill Russell.
Yeah.
That's just insane.
Make an argument for Big Bill.
Exactly.
No, I mean, that argument's going to last until the end
forever,
of time.
Forever.
And I really don't care to dip into that argument so much because it's quite pointless, actually. There's no finalization to it whatsoever. Folks who are on team this or team that are going to remain that way forever and ever. And I thought Kobe was going to make it interesting if he had gotten to six rings. But you're right. He was basically Mike. So, didn't quite get to that level. But Kobe does share Michael does share some interesting birthdays. Larry the Cable Guy, also born today.
Okay.
Buster Olney, ESPN baseball reporter. Michael Bay, film director, although his films are very hit or miss. There's lots of explosions. That's what he's mostly known for. The summer popcorn blockbusters. But he was also born on this day. And, Bengals great David Klingler.
Wow. That's a name I haven't heard in a
that
while.
That is a throwback.
Yeah.
Denise Richards, actress. She's fantastic. Billy Joe Armstrong, lead singer of Green Day. Taylor Hawkins, the Foo Fighters. So, yeah, it's pretty good birthdays on old February the 17th, but Michael Jordan, the king.
It's pretty much the only one I recognize on that list. I mean, there's a couple names I know on there, but, MJ and Bust for me. So, go MJ. I'm not mad at that.
Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Pepe. You're on ESPN Central Texas.
All right. Good afternoon, gentlemen. If you got to go based on rings alone, you got to go Russell, 11. Sorry, that is the original GOAT and only GOAT. Then you can go Michael. Different generations, different genres, different roles, everything differently applies. But Russell is still the king. at 11. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate the phone call. And that's fair. But
that's always the argument. And you know, it's funny because Pepe said if we're going rings, we're not really going rings. I mean, we weren't really going rings. We just said that Kobe never really reached the six rings that that Mike had. But we said that Mike, or I said that Kobe was more closer to Mike than LeBron was. But that's that argument that'll never die.
Well, and here's the asterisk to the most rings. Robert Horry, then, is better than Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant,
right.
Everybody not named, like Sam Jones and John Havlicek. Basically, everybody who didn't play for Boston in the 50s or 60s. Robert Horry is better than everybody right. But those guys.
I think my man Brian just sent me a text. He said, did Zach Burke just have Pepe call in?
What if it turns out Zach and Pepe are like secretly text buddies?
What if Pepe is like Zach Burke the whole time? What if he's been throwing his voice the whole time?
Be even more interesting. But no, that's certainly Pepe. And Pepe, appreciate the phone call. But yeah, the rings argument's got a lot of flaws in it.
There are also only 8 teams in the NBA back then.
Yeah, that's right. So, the competition level's a little different.
I mean, like I think Russell was amazing. And it's just like it's hard to rate his career because it was such a different league back then. But, yeah, he was great, and that Celtics team was the dynasty of all dynasties, but it was just a completely different league.
And he stood for so much more than just playing basketball and winning some rings. I mean, that was Zach's whole argument for Bill Russell. It wasn't necessarily what he did on the court. It was what he had to go through and really breaking through barriers. And that was Zach's argument. Like, Zach was the modern-day Martin Luther King. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I bet you Zach from Riesel has never been called Martin Luther King before.
No, I doubt it.
And that's my brother, though. Mama Burke is my other mama, and yeah, and Zach's my brother, so it's all good.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, that's all well and good, and I understand that sentiment, but then you say Jackie Robinson's the greatest baseball player of all time.
Right.
You know, like, but yeah. I understand the rings come into play, too. And again, we're not really trying to get into a GOAT argument
here. Because it'll never end.
It never ends, and it's quite pointless, but yeah, it's all thanks to, it's like you bring up Michael Jordan, and you got to get into GOAT talk. Have to get into GOAT talk. Well, there were some future GOATs, some current ones, like LeBron, that were out there on the court for the NBA All-Star Game this weekend. We'll dabble a little bit with that. I intended to in this segment, but we might as well go ahead and take a break right here to stay on time. So we'll do that. If you want to chime in like Pepe just did, 254-662-1660. The phone lines and Bush's Chicken text line. This is ESPN Central Texas.
There's a reason customers drive from all over Texas to buy a Ram pickup truck from Cameron Autoplex, where they say it's always cheaper in Cameron.
This is a Fox 44 weather update. I'm meteorologist Emily Kay. It's going to be a warm start to the day with temperatures starting out in the upper 50s and lower 60s with mostly cloudy skies across central Texas. Skies will stay mostly cloudy into the afternoon with a 20% chance of a stray shower or two. Highs will reach the upper 70s and lower 80s Monday afternoon. Tonight, temperatures will drop down to around 54 degrees with mostly cloudy skies and scattered showers possible. The rain continues on Tuesday with highs around 64 degrees and mostly cloudy skies all day with a 40% chance of showers and storms. Join me every weeknight during Fox 44 News at 5:39 for your forecast first. Plus, check out fox44news.com for any changes in the weather.
When Republican Will Jones was elected, he made us a promise that he'd go to work every day to make county government more like a business. And that's exactly what he's done. By attacking waste, fraud, and abuse, consolidating offices, and applying best practices, Will Jones has saved taxpayers $18 million. $18 million! That ain't jump change. That's enough to buy every one of Chip and Joanna's fixer-uppers. Get your name on the side of a building at Baylor or feed a family of four at George's every day for 1,700 years. That's real money right there, and it's back in the pockets of taxpayers because of Republican Will Jones. He's also making sure our veterans get the services they need by authorizing a veterans court and helping to expand the Heart of Texas One Stop. You see, Will Jones doesn't make big promises he can't keep. He just tells you what he's going to do. Then he rolls up his sleeves and gets it done. Let's re-elect Commissioner Will Jones, the taxpayer's champion. Political ad paid for by the Will Jones Campaign.
The Boston Marathon bombing. 4 Americans murdered. Over 260 injured. The Muslim terrorists even exploited welfare programs to help fund their attack. Because today, non-citizens can get food stamps and other benefits, costing us over $30 billion a year. President Trump wants to end this abuse, but the Democrats are blocking him. Pete Sessions believes welfare benefits should be reserved for American citizens. In Congress, Pete Sessions will stand with President Trump to build the wall and remove these immigration incentives that are unfair. and sometimes even dangerous for American taxpayers. Republican Pete Sessions, a true conservative who will fight for us.
I'm Pete Sessions, and I approve this message because taxpayer-funded benefits should be reserved for American citizens.
Paid for by Pete Sessions for Congress.
Qualifications and rules apply. See Genco FCU for details.
Ask for Casasa.
Warning, free Genco Casasa checking may lead to a rise in disposable income due to cash back on everyday debit card purchases, refunds on ATM fees, and eliminations of so-called service fees. Increased satisfaction may result while operating your Genco debit card. If you suffer from chronic money loss, search for help at any Genco branch office. This has been a financial health advisory, courtesy of Genco FCU. It's like money medicine for your shopping habit.
Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, the team physicians of Baylor Athletics. Our doctors specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of any and all sports-related injuries. Celebrating over a decade of service to Central Texas, our doctors are equipped to handle a wide range of issues, whether it's your foot or ankle, your hand or wrist, knee and shoulder pain, or you're in need of our arthritis and total joint clinic. Trust the doctors that Baylor trusts. Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics. Our goal is to get you back in the game.
Myatt Fuels. You call, we haul is a high-quality fuel and lubricant distribution company based out of Clifton and West. Myatt Fuels provides our local area with a wholesale delivery of on-road diesel, off-road, farm diesel, gasoline, and non-ethanol. Myatt Fuels has been in Central Texas for several years and based their success on the company's values, integrity, and commitment to their clients with superior service and dedication. Call Nick at Myatt Fuels with all your off-road, farm, on-road, and gasoline delivery needs. Now available non-ethanol gasoline. Call 675-8107 Myatt Fields, or look them up on Facebook.
UBO Business Services offers the best office copiers available. Our brand-agnostic approach allows our business analysts to select the right multifunction copier for your office that meets both your budget and functionality requirements. www.ubo.com.
Coming up in the next segment, we'll be talking a little NFL draft, so looking forward to that as we start to count down.
Let's go. Count down to Vegas, baby.
To
April
Las Vegas.
23rd through 26th. It's going down.
Yeah, the NFL draft, heading to Vegas for the first time, and should be a good weekend event for a city that sees a lot of great weekend events, but this one is unique in its own right and coming for the first time, so that'll be very interesting to see how they host, and I'm sure it'll be fantastic.
Nashville was awesome. Nashville was a city that I never thought I'd be interested in going to, and after being there the 3 days that me and you spent there, is a city that I would go back anytime. Anyone say, hey, you want to go to Nashville? Hell yes.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of fun in Nashville. Definitely would go, and so I'm interested to see what Vegas, which is a city that I'm very fond of, what they're going to do, but they got a lot of shoes to fill, because what Nashville did, they put on a show. Now Vegas has got to top it.
Yeah, I've never been to Vegas.
Really?
No.
You've been everywhere. You've been to, like, Africa and back, and you haven't been to Vegas. That's crazy to think that you've never been to Vegas.
I've never even approached going to Las Vegas. Yeah.
That's what's up. I'm going to get you out there on the Vegas Strip, man. Craig's going to come back another dude.
Never been in Nevada.
He's going to put a little bit extra oak in that smoke when he comes back.
Hey, I am not opposed to that.
It's going
to
be Craig's smoke.
Yes. It'll be like smoke.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be a fun time, man.
Yeah, that's going to be a wild draft being in Las Vegas, and they've done a great job of moving it around.
Q, how important is this week for them? I mean, I know they got the team and everything, but it's sort of like a first impression, I guess, for
right.
being an NFL city, just the
huge.
Presentation they're going to put
huge.
On.
Huge, absolutely huge. They got a lot of pressure on that they have to show that this city is not just the glitz and glamour of the Strip, not the shows, not the side shows, not all that, but that they actually are a real deal, legit professional city, which they've done a great job with the Vegas Golden Knights, so that's kind of a nice good run. But the NFL is a different animal, man. So they've got to show, one, that they can hold this kind of event, because you know that the Super Bowl is going to be around the corner sometime. Whenever it's eligible to be there, you know it'll be the next city that's awarded. So they got to show that they can handle that, all of that, because the last time there was an All-Star game in Vegas, we all know how that shook out. Wasn't so good for the NBA. So they've got to show that they can handle it. I've seen reports that the police department of the union is already filing complaints.
Oh, great.
Because they're expecting over 700,000 people over the course of the 3 days, and that's going to make the police actually have to work overtime that they're not slated to work. And so they're already kind of having complaints and issues on the side. So that's something that they got to work out, because as we know, Craig, when we were in Nashville, it was very heavily secured. It was a lot of police presence, and it was very well needed, very much needed being out there in the streets. That's what it's going to be in Vegas, in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a lot to have to plan for mm-hmm. and a lot to have to adjust to. And, yeah, it was Nashville just had a little district, you know, a little Broadway or whatever mm-hmm. that everybody was kind of contained or confined to. And they had some other streets blocked off and whatnot, but Vegas is a different animal and a lot
gonna
more.
It's going to be off the strip too.
Yeah, walking mm-hmm. around and whatnot. So yeah, I don't know the layout out there like you do, but yeah, I would imagine there's a lot that needs to go into the planning for an event like that, security and things of that nature.
Yeah,
so.
Man, it's gonna be major, but I'm excited about it. And again, if this goes off and it's very, very successful, then like I said, the Super Bowl will be around the corner, and whenever it's eligible, and obviously with the Raiders going to be there this year, that's going to be something. And you know, that they have to be a good team. If they're not a good team out there in that stadium, then it's going to be like Jerry's World was when it opened up. You know, the teams that go to see their teams play the Cowboys. Oh, let's go visit Jerry's World. It's supposed to be a really nice stadium. Let's go see it. That'll happen in Vegas if the Raiders aren't good. So they have a lot of pressure on themselves to be a good team.
They do. So, yeah, that's coming down the pipeline. A little Las Vegas NFL draft. So we'll be talking draft in the next segment. I did want to touch on briefly, and I didn't take much of this in. I'll be totally honest with you, but were y'all at all invested in All-Star Weekend or the All-Star Game itself yesterday?
I watched the whole slam dunk contest, loved every minute of it.
Wow.
Hated the outcome.
Okay.
Hated the outcome of the slam dunk competition. I feel like Aaron Gordon got robbed twice now.
Derrick Jones Jr. of the Miami Heat, your slam dunk champion.
Yep. Yeah, I thought the dunk contest was pretty incredible. I thought Gordon should have won. I didn't have as big of a problem as everyone else did. I thought I got robbed more when he lost to Zach LaVine just because I think the dunk where he jumped over the Magic mascot and went behind his back.
That was awesome.
Might be the most physically impossible thing we've ever seen.
You got a t-shirt with that.
Anyone yeah. do? I do, yeah. I haven't worn it in a long time.
You got a t-shirt with that.
But I do have a t-shirt with that. I felt like Q, he kind of, like, he just kept jumping over people. And jumping over Taco Fall was amazing.
That's crazy.
But I just feel like the bit was kind of like, okay, you've jumped over, mm-hmm. like.
I felt that with hops. Both of them, though.
Yeah.
You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, they sort of ran out of, I mean, they didn't expect to do so many dunks. I feel like they just kind of ran out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Derrick Jones kept going through the legs. That was his thing.
That was his thing, and Gordon's thing was jumping over people.
And Gordon kept jumping over people.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was good. And then last night, I thought the fourth quarter was really great. Now, mm-hmm. I've never been someone who has a huge problem with it not being a super competitive game. I totally get why people who tune in want it to be, you know, more competitive. But to me, it's just always like it's the All-Star game. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be guys just running around dunking. But the fourth quarter where they had, you know, a lot of money on the line for charity, you could – like guys were playing defense. Like it was legitimately mm-hmm. –
they were getting angry, too.
They were getting angry at officials.
LeBron started crying like he always does. I was and like, oh, here we go.
He does have an ugly cry face.
Yes, he does.
We all do, I guess.
And guys felt the pressure, too. Like, James Harden passed up a layup.
Right.
That would have won the game for mm-hmm. Team LeBron. LeBron missed a couple threes that he had been making with ease earlier in the game. I don't know if they'll be able to keep that up every single year, but it was cool. I did think it was kind of weird that the kids there, so they were playing for charity, and they were kids that were like trying to get money for different things. And they had the kids wearing T-shirts of the team that was representing them, and they looked really nervous. And I was just like, the NBA is going to take care of these guys, right? Like, they're not. I just felt weird having the kids like standing there.
They don't get the money. Like, get out of the court.
Sorry, nervously, team lost. Yeah, so nervously watching the outcome. But it was a really cool, you know, last 5 or 6 minutes of that game. So I originally bagged on that idea because I thought it was really mm-hmm. confusing and dumb, but the execution of it was well done, and at least for 1 year, they made it a competitive basketball game.
On paper, the explanation was really weird. Really strange. I wasn't too sure how it was going to shake out, but like you said, the first three quarters, okay, I got it at the
format.
Yeah, while they were doing it, okay, it made sense while it was going on, but leading up to it, I'm thinking, what in the world? This just seems way too complicated, but the fourth quarter I like because they had that number that they had to hit, and so it was a sense of urgency. You saw these guys get real competitive. I hate the fact that the game ended on a free throw. It shouldn't. I don't think that should happen. I think you should have to earn the basket, but I mean, I get it. That's what they did. So I saw immediately after the game ended, I think the Big Three tweeted out, you always have to win by two and you can't win from the free throw or something. Some kind of dig at the NBA, the Big Three put out there immediately after the game. But that's my only complaint, is that it ended on a free throw.
Yeah, I think the new format actually worked out really well for them. I think mm-hmm. it's something that they can adopt moving forward and know that it's going to make for a more competitive game and weekend. And The first three quarters are pretty forgettable outside of just plays or dunks or whatever that stand out to you. I mean, it's a lot of just long passes to guys running and dunking that aren't being defended. But by the fourth quarter, it did seem like there was actually some competition. So as much as you can make competition out of an all-star game, and we certainly see the Pro Bowl not mean anything, or baseball's all-star game is, you know, it's had its meaning, but that's so much history as well. Just baseball's got that feel to it with their all-star game. NBA all-star game's always been popular, but maybe the format was a little bit broken, so maybe they've found a solution to that.
And I know I killed Luka last week for you know, playing in it. I didn't think he should play in it. I like that he didn't play a lot of minutes.
Yeah, especially at the end.
Yeah, I did. I appreciated that he wasn't out there playing a ton of minutes because, again, I saw a guy that, you know, the Mavs really missed down the stretch of the first half of the season, and they really need him. They got, what, 28 games left to get where they need to be, and so they need that dude at full strength. So to see him not be in the game down the stretch and play a ton of minutes, I was like, okay, I get it. That's cool.
Yeah, he had a pretty light load minutes-wise. I will say,
I'm glad you said that, though. I'm glad you said load-wise, because how come we got all this load management, but yet every one of these guys was out there playing? You didn't see LeBron say, I can't play a load management night.
Yeah,
Kawhi. Kawhi was out there on fire like he was a brand-new dude. Like, he didn't never worry about no load management.
I think LeBron's played pretty much every game this year, but Kawhi certainly has skipped out on a number of games.
He learned that in San Antonio.
This season.
Yeah, he did.
I don't want to be like hot take guy. I don't want to turn this into like first take, but man, the Greek Freak like guarded LeBron one-on-one a couple times in the last quarter, and he had him locked down pretty good.
He
looked a little over, you know, LeBron had one where he blew by him, looked like he was getting an easy layup.
That block was insane.
Giannis blocked it. He stayed in front of him pretty well. So if we get Lakers and Bucks in the finals, that might be a fun thing to watch in the last 5 minutes of games.
That one's got you excited now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, again, when he blocked that one and they called it goaltending at first and then they went to the replay, and I'm glad they did, and you can clearly see that the Greek Freak got there on time. I'm thinking, man, this dude's a real deal. I enjoy watching him play. Still don't know how his game translates in the playoffs and towards the finals if he can't hit that outside shot. That's the only thing that I'm concerned about with the Greek Freak. And if they pack the paint and he can't get loose, then what happens to the rest of the team?
Well, it was Team LeBron over Team Giannis last night, 157-155, no defense up until pretty much the fourth quarter. Kawhi Leonard, your all-star game MVP. Derek Jones wins a slam dunk. Buddy Hield wins a three-point contest.
Good for Buddy, too. Good for Buddy. Yeah. I like to see. I still like Buddy Hield a lot.
Kind of forget about him being out there in Sacramento.
Sacramento, it's easy to forget.
Bam Adebayo of the Heat wins the Skills Challenge, and Team USA won the Rising Stars. And then there was a celebrity game as well, Team Wilbon over Team Stephen A., but
whatever.
I don't really care about any of that. So coming up next, we will start to take a look at the NFL draft, and we've kind of done that a little bit here and there, but Benjamin Solak from DraftNetwork.com will be with us next to talk about his latest mock draft and various storylines as ESPN Central Texas.
Recently on the Matt Mosley Show.
It is Dave Aranda, the head football coach at Baylor University now. Who is the most athletic member of the Aranda family at this point? I know you were
wife.
Fine.
Yeah, all the way. Yeah, still. I mean, she'll race. My oldest girl and my middle girl is a soccer player, and she's getting there. You know, they're passing Dion, my wife, in terms of height, but that just like angers her, and so gets her, you know, excited and fired up to beat them in races and stuff. So it's very competitive, and I miss some of that when I do the FaceTime and I get back with them in the evenings. I can see the chaos and just the competitiveness, and it's a lot more going on than what I've got going on in the hotel room. So I'm looking forward to getting all back together again.
It's the Matt Mosley Show on ESPN Central Texas.
Hi, I just wanted to take a moment to thank all of my amazing clients, referrals, friends, family, and everyone that helps me out on a daily basis for reaching a huge goal in 2019. Thank y'all so much for helping me become the number one individual agent at Coldwell Banker Apex. That is out of like 600 agents, 16 different companies, like a dream come true. This is a 5-year goal of mine, and y'all, definitely y'all, all made it happen in 4 years. I'm so excited. I could just pinch myself. It is such a huge dream come true. and a huge goal accomplished.
It's time to buy or sell your home with the best. Contact Amanda Cunningham from Coldwell Banker Apex Realtors today, 254-495-0338. Put Amanda Cunningham to work for you today.
You want reliable service with reasonable pricing? Then check out Waco Shuttle U, a new transportation service in town as a park and ride shuttle service. Waco Shuttle U offers two daily round-trip shuttle rides to Dallas Love Field and two daily round-trip shuttle rides to Bergstrom and Austin. They'll meet in the parking lot outside JCPenney's at Richland Mall. Experienced and courteous drivers, some active duty and retired police officers, who will take you to the lower level ground transportation and pick you up at the same location. They offer quick, reliable, hassle-free cost, efficient travel, charge $49 for a one-way trip. Waco Shuttle U, your back-and-forth travel solution to cut down the cost of airline parking and the stress of traveling. So reserve your airport shuttle to Love Field in Dallas or Bergstrom in Austin with Waco Shuttle U. Find them online at Waco Shuttle U with the letter U.com. That's Waco Shuttle U. 254-237-3302.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update, brought to you by Slavocic Sausage in West. Number one Baylor saw a breakout performance from sophomore Matthew Meyer off the bench on Saturday against West Virginia. After the win, David Smoak caught up with Meyer, who said he's grown a lot between his first and second seasons.
I think I've grown a lot. I just have a lot more things that, you know, Coach Drew has drilled in my head to just, like, focus on during the game, and that takes a lot of, like, you know, pressure and fear out of it because I'm locked in, you know. So it's like there's no room for my mind to wander. I have a purpose on the floor, kind of, you know.
You can hear that full interview coming up at 4:10 on ESPN Central Texas.
Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
And it is 2:30 on the dot here on ESPN Central Texas. It's time to talk a little NFL draft. We've got a couple months to go, but that has not stopped the speculation. Of course, the Combine is right around the corner. Got a number of Baylor players that will be in attendance, the most they've had in quite some time. And to talk not only some of those guys, but also all things NFL draft, joining us now on the phone lines is Benjamin Solak of the Draft Network. And Benjamin, we do appreciate your time this afternoon. There's obviously a lot of storylines, but what is the number one storyline to you? Is it the Bengals and who they take at number one? Is it a particular player? What is the hot topic du jour for you when it comes to this upcoming draft?
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. With the simple reality is, in the short-term time frame, we're most interested in what's the case with the Alabama quarterback. Tua Tagovailoa had the awful hip dislocation injury against Mississippi State, and what was generally a really solid junior season. He elects to come out betting on himself to have positive medical checks at the Combine, which is next week in Indianapolis. If he comes back on schedule, recovering well, no long-term damage anticipated, he's a potential top three pick, and there could be rumors about the Dolphins, the Chargers, the Panthers getting in a fight to trade up to that Lions pick at three to go get him. But if there's lingering doubt, this is a guy who's had multiple high ankle sprains, he starts to get that injury red flag label, and then it becomes a question of where he falls. So right now, our biggest wild card in the draft is Tua Tagovailoa. The penultimate moment for him has always been this combine, and now we're just a week away. How will he check out with the doctors in Indy? Which teams will tell you that's the most important part, not the on-field testing. It's how you test with the doctors if you have any existing or lingering injury. How he tests there dictates his draft stock, changes the landscape of the first round.
I saw on your mock draft 5.0 that Tua was the guy that you selected for the Panthers. That you actually had them trading up to number three to go get him. How does the quarterback market shape up after Joe Burrow, after Tua, after Jordan Love? I mean, what if you got to get a quarterback and you don't get him early on, what are you looking at?
It's always tricky, right? Because there's this myth of the late round development of quarterback. And if you go and you look through drafts, that player doesn't really exist. Like, we have Dak Prescott, we have Tom Brady, but these are like once in a generation dudes. If you want a quarterback, you have to spend an early pick on him in the first round, right? Even with Lamar Jackson at 32, the Ravens decided to trade up to get into the first round to get that fifth year option, because if he's good, they want that extra year of him being cheap. So whenever you evaluate quarterbacks in this class and in any class, you ask yourself the question, is he worth a first-round pick, yes or no? And I think With Tua and with Burrow, we've got that locked in. Justin Herbert out of Oregon and Jordan Love out of Utah State will also be a resounding consensus yes across the board for teams. So we expect at least four to go in the first round. And then it becomes your case du jour. Who do you like? Jacob Eason out of Washington is all tools, big arm strength. Jake Fromm out of Georgia is all the intangibles, ton of leadership. Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma and Alabama, you know, that championship experience, the running ability. Even Anthony Gordon out of Washington State, they've turned out some good late-round quarterbacks out of late in the Mike Leach system. So you have some of these guys who are fringe dudes. Maybe they go end of round one, more likely day two or day three. But the reality is if you're trolling for a starter, you've got to be spending an early first and mid-first round pick on these guys. Players who are drafted in later rounds, they sometimes pan out to be good backups. They sometimes pan out to be journeymen. It's very rare that they pan out to really be true starters at the NFL level.
In your latest mock, you got the Panthers coming up the board to get Tua at number three. Is that something you're hearing? Is that just something that makes sense to you? What led to that decision, Benjamin?
Right. It's always reading the tea leaves, you know, and then you bounce it off people that you're talking to and you say, all right, is this totally insane or is this possible? And the reality is times are changing in Carolina. We have the new owner in David Tepper. He retains GM Marty Herney, but installs an analytics department, goes out, makes an aggressive head coach and hire in Matt Rhule. So if there's a team that's going to be aggressive in the draft in terms of trading up for a quarterback, it's going to be Carolina. Miami right now has the, you know, they're the house, you know what I mean? They have the good hole cards, so they can sit at five and get Tua. They're not going to try to trade up unless they know somebody else is seriously interested. That's most likely to be Carolina. Remember, Matt Rhule's on a long-term contract, and when a coach is on a long-term contract, he's able to be more aggressive in the draft because he knows, okay, even if I give up some next-year picks, I'll still be around. I don't have to go and make picks now and win now to secure my job. I can have a long-term view, which allows me to mortgage a little bit of my future to go out and get a potential star player. So it's a tea leaf thing. Carolina is going to be aggressive. That's the mentality behind the new owner. And that trickles down and dictates what they do in team and roster building, especially in the draft. They're the team that's likely to trade up. Then obviously becomes a debate. Miami has a ton more capital than they do, especially right now. So we're going to trading up with the Lions. Miami's probably the better of the two suitors, but does Miami want to trade up, or are they okay with Justin Herbert? So it's a tea leaf thing, right? We're nowhere near Carolina making a big offer to Detroit. If that's going to happen, it's going to happen after the medical recheck for Tua, like I said, but that's the team that's most likely to go do it.
Cowboys, you've got them at number 17, selecting Javon Kinlaw out of South Carolina, and he's a name that throughout all of the All-Star games, we were hearing a lot of buzz about him. I know that you make one of the comments, it's like, oh, well, he won't be available here. Why is he getting so much buzz, Javon Kinlaw, and what made you look at this as a fit?
Yeah, so you're going to see Kinlaw on your television screen in a couple of days, and you're going to understand why he's going so high. Kid's made out of stone. Unbelievable frame. Doesn't come around like this every so often. He's a special dude athletically. He's going to test as it accordingly. He chose to go back to South Carolina in his senior season, despite the fact that the NFL in 2019 was generally ready to take this guy in the first round off potential alone. When he goes back in his senior season, his play improved. He caught some bad weight, and he began to show what that athleticism can do inconsistently. Still's got to string it together from a game-by-game, snap-by-snap perspective, but the flashes are up there. They're as good as anybody in this class, including Derek Brown, the Auburn defensive tackle, who's probably defensive tackle number one. Now, Kinlaw makes a ton of sense in Dallas because they really need that penetrating pass rush sort of a guy in the interior. They've struggled for so long to generate sacks from the inside and generate pocket push from the inside. They've had guys in the past 5 or so years who've held up against the run or who've showed it inconsistently. But Kinlaw at 17 is great value for his ceiling. And even if in year one he's not all the way put together, he has a good chance to be a 10-year guy you give a second contract to and he becomes a blue chip defensive tackle, pass rushing, three tech, 8 sacks, 9 sacks, 10 sacks a year guy from the inside. That's rarefied air. But we're talking about a really unique athlete who's clearly starting to put it together from a technique perspective. So the need makes a lot of sense. The fit makes a lot of sense. It's a matter of if Kinlaw stays on the board for that long.
All we keep hearing about is how deep this wide receiver draft class is for the draft. And you have Denzel Mims from Baylor in the second round going to Green Bay. We have a good eye on him. We like to see what Denzel and the rest of the Baylor guys are doing. So do you feel like Denzel, that should be the floor for him around the second round, maybe late or early third round? And what are you seeing from the rest of this wide receiver class?
Yeah, prognosticating wide receivers is always tough because it comes down to a body type thing, right? Two teams can need a wide receiver. But one team can be looking for a smaller, a shiftier slot guy, quick dude, and another team can be looking for that downfield, above the rim, contested catch, red zone guy. And so you might be able to say, listen, Denzel Mims looks like he should go in the second round. The tape at Baylor is tremendous. The production at Baylor is tremendous. The athletic ability is going to check a lot of boxes. The Senior Bowl was great. You ask Denzel Mims what makes him unique. He's, I think, blocking his effort, which coaches love wide receivers who will go out there and block for him. So Mims checks all the boxes. But placing this guy always is tough until we get closer to the draft, because you really have to figure out which teams are going to like a player of his skill set. Mims right now did not run the most intense route tree at Baylor and did not run the best routes at Baylor. So teams that are going to like him are going to be teams who can give him a simple route tree, slant, post, nine ball, deep comeback, everything in the vertical third. Just let him be on half of the field. He'll win in contested situations, and he'll win with some downfield speed as well. So teams who want that downfield threat to win through physicality, those are going to be the teams interested in Denzel Mims. I think he's going to start being in the conversation on round two. And if he makes it into round three, it won't be for very long. He's checked every box so far in this pre-draft process. As long as he doesn't bomb the combine, he'll have raised his stock considerably, and he was already a pretty solid day two guy. So, yeah, round two feels right for me for Mims. I'm a big fan of his, though. I like that kid.
Another Big 12 wideout you have late in the first round is Jalen Reagor, who you have going to Baltimore in your latest mock. I know Jalen's production his last year at TCU wasn't the best, Benjamin. Do you think teams are willing to look past that just because he's such an athletic freak?
Yeah, whenever we contextualize wide receiver production, we always like to understand it in terms of the market share. Because, let's be honest, Reagor didn't produce very well, not because Reagor was bad, but because the TCU passing offense was bad. They didn't have anything through the air, and they were quarterback carousel. During the end of the year, maybe they settled it out a little bit, but by then it was a little bit too late. So certainly Reagor didn't put up gaudy numbers, but he still owned a very large percentage of the passing offense as a whole, which is to say when the passing offense was successful, it was through Reagor. Reagor is a young prospect. He was an 18-year-old freshman who was highly productive, and now he's coming out. He's going to be 20, not even yet 21 by the time he gets to an NFL camp, which means he has a really high ceiling. The athletic traits are great, and everybody knows he was held back by the quarterback play in TCU. So it's okay. It's excusable. It's explainable why he doesn't have great production. Reagor's return ability and what I expect to be pretty unique athletic ability at the combine is going to put him in that late first-round conversation.
Benjamin Solak of the Draft Network joining us here on ESPN Central Texas. A little appetizer for the draft coming up here in a couple of months. And Benjamin, we talked about Denzel Mims, another player from Baylor expected to be drafted. He left a year early as defensive lineman James Lynch. Any kind of a pulse on James Lynch and where you kind of see him fitting in?
Yeah, James Lynch is going to be one of these guys that I think goes earlier than a lot of us in the media expect. And we'll get it, but not really, because Lynch's film isn't, there's nothing you really go and you hang your hat on. He's always particularly quick, always particularly powerful, always got great rush moves and technique. There's nothing there that you're like, all right, this is how he's going to win at the NFL level. But with that said, he plays with outstanding effort. He has a lot of tools in his toolbox, which is to say that he's versatile, not prohibitively slow or prohibitively weak or only has one rush move. So his versatility, and coaches love him because of the way he approaches the field and the way he approaches the weight room and the film room in preparation for the week. So he's that you know, Matt Rhule, Baylor Bear. He's got a lot of really good intangibles to him. And his versatility, working from the 3-tech outside to the 5-tech and even wider, is going to appeal to teams who like to be versatile and multiple with their front. So any defensive line and defensive coaching philosophy from the Belichick tree, think about what Romeo Crennel did a little bit when he was still the DC there in Houston, or Matt Patricia with the Lions, Rabel with the Titans, Belichick in New England, does value a player like Lynch to give him the different spots he can play. I think that Lynch is going to be a guy who maybe goes in the top 100, maybe a little bit after 100, fringe round three, maybe round four guy, which, again, even though there's nothing that you really go, all right, this is where he's going to be elite in the league, he has great production, great intangibles, teams value those players on the bench.
I think everyone agrees that Isaiah Simmons is the number one linebacker, but after that, it seems like it's been a question and somewhat of a debate between Kenneth Murray and Patrick Queen. What are your thoughts on those guys, and how does this linebacking class look like?
Yeah, man, when Dylan Moses had the injury and then went back to school, we were wondering who would step up. And Kenneth Murray significantly improved this year. He's playing better at a big weight, which matters to some NFL teams that they have linebackers over 240. He runs with great speed. But what he was doing behind the slanting front, Alex Grinch defense, the pass coverage wasn't really there. He was blitzing a ton. So he's quick to trigger, quick to flow. There's not a lot of great examples of slow, patient processing, kind of deciphering the riddle of the offense. But in so much as he grew this year, Patrick Queen, who did not even come into the season as a starter, by the time the season ended, LSU was national champion, he had rested control of the defense. He was the captain. He was calling the shots. And so really a delightful growth process from Queen over the course of this last year. You might have the same concerns you do with Joe Burrow a little bit on the offensive side in terms of, oh, man, you know, is this a situation where we've got players who are just growing now, just starting, you know, to really shine like NFL players. But Queen's got delightful movement skills. He's a really smart guy, great vision. He's linebacker too for me, even though he came on late to the season. The film is just too good at this point.
Benjamin Solak can be found on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. Also, of course, with the Draft Network, which you can find on Twitter at the at Draft Network, not the in front of it, but at Draft Network LLC. And Benjamin, really good stuff, man. Enjoyed going through your mock drafts and enjoyed your info and your insight as well, man. We'll definitely be giving you a ring again in the near future, and we do appreciate it.
No, for sure. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Thanks a lot. There's Benjamin Solak of the Draft Network once again here with us on ESPN Central Texas as Denzel Mims is a late round two guy to the Green Bay Packers, and you just heard him there talking about James Lynch and various others as well.
Yeah, James Lynch, I feel like that's kind of almost the wild card. You know, he said, you know, late third round, maybe early fourth round, and I think there's some teams that may fall in love with him, you know, maybe be late second round. I mean, it's just kind of one of those, you saw the production, you know the motor, and is he going to be a dude that just translates on the next level? Probably the only question.
That's why I wasn't completely all the way in on him leaving early, was just because, you know, typically guys do that, they're guaranteed first rounders or early seconds, and right now there is no guarantee with James Lynch.
Right.
You know he's going to get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's going to be in the first half of the draft. You just don't know. It could be rounds 1, 2, 3, or 4, and that's where the
never know.
Question mark comes in. So thanks to Benjamin. He was really good, and we'll definitely have him on again as we lead up to Las Vegas, this year's host for the NFL draft. It's 2:45. We'll take a break right here. It's ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Big 12 basketball all season long with Pat and John on ESPN Central Texas.
The Bears back in action Tuesday in Norman against the Oklahoma Sooners. 7:30 for the countdown to tip-off. 8 p.m. tip-off Tuesday for the Bears and the Sooners.
Follow the Bears all season long here on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas.
Are you a renter and ready to purchase your own home? NeighborWorks Waco has been assisting Central Texans in the home buying process for the past 26 years, and they are ready to help you. Not enough money for a down payment or low credit scores? NeighborWorks Waco has programs to help you get the best loan. Plus, they make sure you know just what to look for in selecting that perfect home. Call 254-752-1647 or visit us online at nw-waco.org to get started. NeighborWorks Waco, homeownership the right way.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley Show, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Business online at turnerchevy.com for the best deal on your new Chevrolet. Stop by and see all the new 2020 Silverado 1500s today.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way, so it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update, brought to you by Slovacek Sausage in West. Number one, Baylor saw a breakout performance from sophomore Matthew Meyer off the bench on Saturday against West Virginia. After the win, David Smoke caught up with Meyer, who said he's grown a lot between his first and second seasons.
I think I've grown a lot. I just I have a lot more things that, you know, Coach Drew has drilled in my head to just, like, focus on during the game, and that takes a lot of, like, you know, pressure and fear out of it because I'm locked in, you know. So it's like there's no room for my mind to wander. I just, I, like, have a purpose on the floor, kind of, you know.
You can hear that full interview coming up at 4:10 on ESPN Central Texas.
Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
Welcome back in to UNR here on ESPN Radio. We are winding it down. A few minutes left in today's show. Craig Smoke, your boy Q, and Stephen Simcox. And David Smoke now joins us in studio. And how are we doing today?
Doing well. Doing really, really well. Just got back from Texas Arrow. The women are on their way to Lubbock. And, you know, they only beat them by, 8 points or so here, and they shoot the threes and made 20-something in one game before. So this will be interesting, and Baylor has struggled at times out in Lubbock.
Nice race between the men and the women to see who will lose first. He's going to drop the next one first.
And they both play tomorrow night. They're both on the road tomorrow night. They're both on the road against teams that can fill it up tomorrow night as well. Do you want to play that Kim Mulkey bite real quick?
Sure. So go ahead and set this up.
She's that win away from being the fastest in college basketball, Division I basketball history, men's or women's basketball. John Wooden, name him, Pat Summitt, to 600 career wins. So she discusses that. We'll have that full interview today at 5. But this is my question to her about the fear of losing.
Do you have fear of losing?
Not fear of losing, per se, because I feel like I have won enough. But I think as an athlete and as a young coach, when you get started, if you don't fear something, then, you know, I fear God. In a lot of ways, you know, I fear death. I fear losing. 'Cause none of us really know, if we met God, what would you, you know, would you really believe it? None of us have died yet. I guess motivation maybe comes from the fear of losing, but what I do know, I don't like to lose. And so if that's a good way to put it, probably so. Fear of failure maybe.
When you were at Louisiana Tech, you guys had a stretch of like 90-something games in the top five. UConn's stretch of 253 consecutive top five rankings just ended. Can you put that in perspective since you were at Tech?
Oh, yeah, I can definitely put it in perspective. It's talked about often. And does it put more pressure on you? Not as a player. It really doesn't, because you're in control of the game as a player. I think coaches tend to feel that, gosh, I wish I could pass it, dribble it, or shoot it. All I can do is put them in positions. But those records are hard. Those records don't last forever. But, gosh, those that accomplish them, you've won a lot of games. You've done a lot of things.
So there's Kim Mulkey with David Smoke, and you're going to have a full meal deal with her coming up on You Make the Call.
Yeah, there were a handful of others there as well as they were on their way to fly into Lubbock. But yeah, we'll have I don't get to go to a lot of those media sessions. I thought she was very insightful about not only her legacy but many, many things. We'll have that today at 5:00. Paul's on his way back from the men's media session. They're about to be, you know, leaving for Oklahoma. We'll have something with Scott Drew as they have to focus in on tomorrow night. And then, of course, KU and game day on Saturday. We'll also hear from Tim Callishaw, Dallas Morning News. He was in attendance on Saturday. He wrote a column about Baylor and also kind of a little bit of a jab at ESPN Plus, which I did some of that throughout the weekend. And we'll also hear as well from Queen Egbo and my one-on-one with Matthew Meyer after the game, after that spectacular blow the roof off at the Farrell Center dunk, and had a chance to visit with him as well.
All right, very good. There's David Smoke coming up next with You Make the Call alongside Paul Catalina and also Garrett Ross. So sounds like it'll be a pretty busy show for the boys.
No doubt. Good stuff, too, especially with getting that one-on-one with Matthew Meyer, the dunk master, the guy who, like you said, blew the roof off the Farrell Center, got everybody talking. Love that, man. Love that stuff. And that guy is always fun to watch.
That anyway. Was a little white-on-white crime, too. It was. Both defenders were white dudes. So that's it.
Can't say white-on-white
white
man
crime.
Can't jump, right?
No.
He jumped out the gym.
But Mosley mentioned this morning. I didn't realize it until I watched the video back. But the WVU defender that gets dunked on, he just goes in a dead sprint down the, the floor. Like, he's trying to get out of there so
get
fast.
Get me out of there.
Not going to acknowledge it.
Nobody wants to be on the end of that poster, brother.
Yeah, I think he does at one point. He like kind of looks up. I don't know if it was at Tristan Clark or if it was at I don't remember who it was, but it's just very brief. Like pretend this didn't happen and just keep on
That's
going.
That's what you
got
to do,
game.
Man. It's like falling down and, you know, instead of looking around to see who didn't. Who saw you? You just jump back up and just keep it moving.
Yeah, no, that was a fun play. It was early in that game, but man, it blew the roof off. You're right, and certainly led to a lot of other good things for the men that day. So it'll be a relatively quiet night in comparison to the last couple of days, in particular the last 3 days, really. But that's going to all get stoked back up starting tomorrow because the men and women will be back at it with their number one and number two rankings, and obviously with Kim Mulkey. 600 wins, fastest D1 coach there in history if they can get a win tomorrow night. And then the Baylor men just trying to stay on top and keep the streak going before the big showdown in College Game Day on Saturday versus number 3 Kansas. So we'll definitely be talking some hoops tomorrow with you and much more. We'll also probably be joined by Colt Barber of Sikkim 365 and Patrick Walker of CBS Sports, who are normally with us on Tuesdays as well. So that's what we've got already kind of in store for you tomorrow at noon.
Final statement, Leon, hit us up on the Bush and Chicken text line. White men can dunk.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. I'm glad that somebody else has done it since Woody Harrelson back in the day. Oh, man. But thank you, Leon, for chiming in. Thanks to everybody that was a part of the show this afternoon, and also to Benjamin Solak for joining us as well. Fellas, anything before we depart this afternoon?
Peace.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Thanks for listening. You make the calls next. It's ESPN Central Texas.